The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, we're here. Having a little conversation about the Thursday night game.
Big one.
Getting ready for PFW in Progress.
Did you say all right?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want
But
this.
I said it differently. I said, all right.
Yeah, that felt different than the previous 777,000 shows.
I had his mic off until he was ready because I didn't want anything to come blurting out.
F-bomb or something.
But I waited till he was kind of set, and then he said, all right.
But it was a different, it had a different.
Well, he said hello at first.
Yeah. I mean, we need
the
to check.
The hello never went out over the air.
Oh, okay. Because I thought that might be the first ever show he's done without saying, all right.
It's really scary. No,
I made sure it was
it's
off.
It's really
until
scary
he was ready.
When I have Kevin looking out for me.
No. It's scary that Paul and I have had to look out for you lately.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Why is that?
Yes, so really.
Oh, really?
It hasn't really helped me much.
No, that's true. But we're trying our best.
No,
we have limited
that's a good point, Freddie. You don't want Andy and I in your corner.
All right.
I'm just glad I'm here.
Hey, that's my hometown, underwater.
It's Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and contrary to other reports, it is raining sideways.
It was bad enough to cancel school today in my
you
hometown.
You didn't have school today?
No. Well, here's why.
Oh.
That's my town.
Soft.
Wow, you're underwater.
Yeah, turn around.
Soft. Wow. It's water. The buses are big. Drive through it.
I'd laugh if you said
Believe me, there was no one more upset that there was no school today than I was.
Wow. That's a lot of water. Anyway, it's a rainy and windy Foxborough, Mass.
Nor'easter.
Patriots getting ready for the Chicago
Unlike
Bears.
Unlike what Andy said yesterday when he was yelling at me and Fred.
Right.
Well, you guys were like weather.com. You were like promoting it like a tornado.
Well, it was rain. It wasn't snow.
I just
so
said
it's
it was
not
raining
like
sideways.
I mean, there's like 15,000 people out of power.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway.
Shouldn't say out of
good
power.
Thing it's
without
a,
power.
Weather, the temperature's
what does that
in the 50s.
Thanks, Mark.
What does that mean?
The only thing I worry about is that it's fairly warm, so that's okay, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm
But it is windy. It was the stand you're – when I was walking across the parking lot, those ones that kind of stand you up and you –
Yeah.
There's a kid playing with a remote control boat in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
That's how dangerous it is. There's kids playing in boats in the streets. Drive the buses through and get to school.
All right.
Is the school flooded?
Lots of stuff to talk about, obviously. The Bears on Sunday, but all this Revis talk. He was late for practice and sent home, and then he said he was sorry. Much to do about nothing.
Well, I just want to recap. All of that is reported.
Right, that's true.
He said between me and Coach, talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or whatever, form of that.
Yeah.
That's what he said on the record before it all broke.
And then there was the twisting match. Did
well,
you see the twisting match?
I don't know that I did.
I think Volan tweeted his news yesterday
Yeah.
about what we just talked about. And then Revis's manager tweeted back and said, oh, that's not true. And then Revis told him to delete that tweet. And
But then he did it again.
And then he did it again. And then Karen had a story, I think.
Right. I think the business manager was going with technicalities. That the story was wrong because Karen reported that he never actually came. Mm-hmm. He was going to be late, and Bill said, just stay home.
He wasn't sent home.
And then he showed up.
So if you're the business manager, technically the story's wrong, but the point is the same.
The point is the same.
He was late. Now we're hearing reports that he may be having late being a common issue. I feel like, Paul, I got like a burp just sitting right down here in my throat.
Which would, despite the fact that you just exploded?
Yeah.
And I don't know if one has to do with the other, but I've said before on the show, I haven't gotten the sense that he's been very happy since he's been here.
Well, I just think in general, he doesn't come off as a happy-go-lucky person.
No.
He's dour or...
Well, but I don't know what he was in New York. If he was like that in New York all the time. Or...
Right.
That's a good point. And I've cautioned myself against making any of those kinds of generality just assumptions, because I don't know what he's been like. This is my first.
Yeah, I just think
he does not strike me as a guy who has been. He's all business.
But we're also comparing
and
him
wrong
to
with that.
To Aqib Talib, whether fairly or not.
Yeah, it's not the same kind
Aqib
of personality.
Aqib Talib is a bubbling, just energy,
completely different type
and
of person.
And unless I found out that that's the way that Revis was with the Jets,
right? And I don't know that.
I don't really recall it.
I don't.
Matter
of
fact,
certainly didn't remember any wild quotes from Darrell Revis when he's with the Jets.
But he always struck me as more of a kind of
wild,
difficult guy. He's not been difficult at all.
And he does have a big smile, I will say.
He's not been difficult to deal with at all.
The dark black beard, and every once in a while he gives you a big smile that sort
of... He jokes a lot.
He does.
Juxtaposition to the beard is really white and bright and shines, but he does seem kind of reserved and...
It just seems like... It seems like a lot of times he doesn't believe the stuff that he's saying about.
Oh yeah,
so just himself, his situation,
his own.
Crap.
No, that's true. You know does not sell the player speak.
The company
I guess
line.
We'll term.
Yeah,
he doesn't sell it well. No, not at all.
All right, so we all.
But I don't know if that has anything to do with his being late or not.
I wanted to ask you guys' opinion because I was not here in the office when this sort of broke yesterday afternoon. You guys all were.
Late gate.
You were on the Felger in the Mouth.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
I was like in mid-sentence.
Right.
Felger had to shut me up. You would
have
liked that.
Could have happened any time during a 24-hour period.
You would have liked it, Andy, because we had to cut me off.
Did he? Did he say shut up or
no,
something?
No, I finished my
Kevin
point.
Kevin
would have
shut up.
He goes, we actually have something real quick, and then they announced it.
And Paul goes, I have no opinion on that.
Well, it's just first I've heard of it.
I refuse myself.
I had no idea. I mean, obviously, but
he's been a great player,
but
great
Andy,
citizen.
Andy, you just pointed out that these are all stories. They're all reports. So the Patriots have not announced that they sent or, told him not to bother coming. This is nothing official coming from the team or from Revis.
We do know, based on Eric's eyes, that he wasn't out there.
Right. He wasn't at practice Tuesday, and these are the reports that are saying as to why. What I found interesting, and I wonder if I'm overblowing this or if you guys thought the same, when he was asked about it on Wednesday, and I think Mike Rees asked the question, I thought it would be very easy to sort of dodge that question, sidestep it as a non-issue. You don't have to lie. I think the way that Mike Rees said it was a veteran,
did you get a veteran?
A mental day.
A mental health day. Thank you, Fred. That's exactly what Mike said. A mental health day.
He could have said, I was given the day off.
Which
would have been true.
Not a lie.
But he could have even said less disingenuous. He could have just said something,
He could have just laughed at,
That's
all.
No big deal.
Because that they're not allowing you to get into injuries.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there's nothing out of the ordinary for him to not say, a day to rest my hamstring or something like that. He's been dealing on and off with a hamstring problem.
Or he could have
periodically.
Said, nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about. Yeah, not a big deal. Nothing to worry about. I thought by him answering it the way he did, that's between the I'm paraphrasing. Between the coach and I. Talk to him, right. I think was the way he put it.
although.
Something. It's between me and coach. You have to talk to him about it. That's the direct quote. I thought that opened the door for the writers to poke around and figure out why he wasn't there.
Although, I wonder.
He already knew. Ben Golan already knew.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the writers may have poked around after practice on Tuesday and been like, well, let's just do our due diligence.
He
find
had
out
that
what
up
happened.
Before we were in
no,
the locker room.
But given no, the but extended one-on-one time he spent with Darrell Revis after the gangbang, I think Ben Volen already knew and was telling him, this is my speculation
from
far.
Yeah, but Revis didn't know he knew when he did the gangbang.
Right, correct.
Right.
Right, so at that
I
time.
I thought it was odd. I thought there was, you might be right. The story might have come out anyway. I thought he invited it to come out. by answering the question that way. Now, you could say, well, what are you, you're killing the guy for being honest? No, I'm not killing him. I just thought it was kind of odd. I've heard many non-answers in that locker room. That kind of let you know that, there was a reason I didn't practice, and it wasn't just because I got a day off. That let you know that, and I thought that was strange.
Yeah.
But maybe I thought maybe I thought more of it than you did.
You definitely did.
But that's why I wanted to ask you.
Although I would wonder why.
No one asked Bill?
No. Well, that. Yes.
You have to wonder why?
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Bill was yesterday morning.
Oh, and no one asked why he wasn't at practice.
Practice the day before. Yeah.
Well, that's just, because we're all trained puppies.
But I also wonder why.
We're well trained. We don't pee in the rug.
If Volin did have the information before we went in the locker room, why he didn't report it when he got it?
Because I think he took the chance to talk to Revis.
Until he talked to Revis. I like that.
They get a lot of criticism for Chalice talking to anybody. You
know, good for Ben Volin.
Okay. And it might not have been Ben Volin.
That's a great
It might
point.
Have been the Boston Globe sports editor. Well,
whatever. Somebody
because they get
the
a
right
lot of criticism because of the Chalice incident.
Yeah, fine.
Which, by the way, they probably still think is right.
Yeah.
You know that they're gritting their teeth right now over that whole thing.
Sure.
That's a great point.
Thanks,
That's
Paul.
A great point. Because
big show, yeah. Paul gave me validation.
No, but I think they probably...
Career's over.
They probably said, you know what? You know, all the Ben Bradleys out there, who's been in the news this week because he passed away, everybody, got to get 2 and 3 sources for all this stuff. We're going to go over the top journalism on you. We have this information.
They did say they had 3 sources.
And we're going to wait.
Ben Volin said he had 3 sources.
Right. So I don't think
get the whole story, if you believe the Herald.
I don't think that that's... necessarily a bad thing.
Who's the sports editor?
Joe Sullivan.
No. Who's Ben?
Ben Bradley was the old Washington Post that had the Watergate.
Passed away this week.
With Woodward and Bernstein. Yeah. All the President's Men, nothing?
Yeah.
No, I...
It was before he was born, Paul. It was way before his time.
As I've said in the past, so was the revolution.
Whether it was Volin on his own or his editor telling him to, I applaud him for going to Revis first before he broke that.
Now, again, this is speculation from a visual. I didn't. Right. I just watched him and Revis and Volin have a long chat post.
Roast beef, lettuce, tomato, mayo.
Are you stopping me mid-sentence?
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing to stop Paul mid-sentence because a Revis report breaks. You just stopped me mid-sentence to put your lunch order in.
I forgot you're a superstar now.
No. My question is...
I can't interrupt the superstar.
Could I not have kept talking and you could have given your lunch order off
air? You
want
mayo on that, Fred?
Yes, I think
he wanted to hear you, though.
Yeah.
So, he didn't want to miss anything.
Right. Right, Eric, right.
Because he usually misses stuff when he's reading emails.
That's right.
That's true.
Go ahead, Andy.
I have no idea.
Go ahead, superstar.
No, I really don't remember where it was. Totally just derailed.
All right, so that Revis stuff is out there.
Does it give you concern that there's maybe a bigger, more widespread problem?
Sure.
Well, there's been talk and reports
personally.
That he has a lateness issue.
Really? Where are those reports?
On the radio, there's... Talking about
guys
it.
Talking.
Well, I'm
that's
just
a
saying.
No.
Well,
WEEI reported that today.
From what?
Right. I don't know.
From sources.
Sources.
Well, same as the original report came from sources.
There was,
and then there was another guy who called yesterday afternoon and
so
said
the station
Revis
is saying this, or who's saying it?
Jerry Callahan, Jerry, Kirk Minahan, and John
show.
Dennis.
They're reporting it,
and they're reliable.
They said it today, according to sources. That doesn't mean it's right. But I mean,
I'm just wondering. I want to validate this. I want to get to the bottom.
Well, that's who I heard.
Who's saying what?
Well, there was a guy who called into their show.
Oh,
who claimed he was one of the bus drivers in our convoy.
Yeah,
and said that he saw Revis miss the bus to the game.
Which game?
Minnesota.
Yeah.
We know that's not true, because I was on that bus. Well, we took pictures of him walking down the tunnel. Getting on the bus to go to the Providence Airport.
No,
the report was to the game.
The report was to the game.
But I'm just saying, I mean,
that was the report.
That's what the
I don't
said.
Understand why
I you
lend you validity
to Minnesota.
Well, you're talking about Minnesota. The plane.
Oh, in Minnesota.
Yeah, there's two buses.
Right. I understand.
To the plane is one. To the game is another.
Right.
Listen, I don't know if any of this.
But
stuff
I know.
Is true.
I know he did not miss the bus to Providence.
To the plane to Minnesota.
Right. I know that for a fact.
Right.
What are our road games, too? Because there was another caller, who claimed that Revis missed a bus to the airport for a game earlier this year because he had to ride with a marketing client who also missed the bus.
I don't know.
What were our road games?
Miami, Minnesota, Kansas City.
So who reported that?
Nobody, just a caller.
Oh.
But it was a caller on the air on EEI.
Oh, really?
And Buffalo.
And yes.
Buffalo. Wow. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, my point is that all of these things are from sources. All of these stories. So
everything's from sources.
I don't know if any of them are true, all of them are true, or
part
somewhere
of them
in between.
Or some, yeah.
You know, so I'm not willing to just dismiss them all, and I'm not willing to just accept them all
and
either.
You know
I'm
what?
With Fred.
They could be true, and Bill might have just said, look, Darrell, you know, I got to send you home here. I can't have this continue happening.
See, now, if you're going to, like, sort of ask me to suspend belief or whatever, that's kind of where I go. I don't think the first time Darrell Revis calls and says, I'm running late, Bill Belichick says, you know what, don't bother.
Right.
That's why I kind of lead.
Well, you would hope not. I mean, you know.
It'd kind of be funny.
Mistakes do happen.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know? Bill, a tree fell on my car in this nor'easter. I'm going to be late. Yeah. Don't bother.
Well, that's the other thing. And it says in this.
Wait, what?
But it says in this Herald report that he overslept.
Well, that bothers me.
To me, oversleeping.
No excuse.
Stay home. You know?
No, but what if. All right. Just devil's advocate.
Nope.
Devil's advocate. Nope. We're in a nor'easter. Maybe he lost power. Maybe his alarm doesn't go off.
Cell phone.
Yeah, maybe he lost power.
Cell phone.
For God's sake, maybe he was charging the phone and the power went out and he didn't charge it.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Whatever. Your alarm doesn't go off. It happens. You
3 to 5 inches of rain.
Sometimes.
Andy's still not confirming this.
I'm just not buying it.
But I
in
think
this day and
point,
age, there is
you do it once. I think you should be allowed to.
Coming off a
that's
long
why
weekend.
I tend to believe some of these stories because I just feel like it's probably not the first time if he was sent home.
Right. Although plus, you got to think back to. What was it? Snowgate
with Tardy Boys.
Yeah, the Tardy Boys.
Yeah, but I think again, even that was a culmination of these guys
with all of those guys.
Yep. That well,
and if not
in the locker room, guys, you know what? I can't get the attention of these guys in this locker room, and it culminated with that.
And I also think
now you're painting a broad brush that I heard Mr. Perillo and Felger painting on.
Don't listen to me ever.
The Hub.
I'm not when you're not on the same show with me. I
don't
want you ever listening
to me. Comparing 09, the team that quote, I can't get this team to do what.
Oh, I think there's a huge comparison between this team and 09.
But I'm not comparing that. I'm just.
It might even be worse. The quarterback may not be on board.
Well, come on. Wow, breaking hot take.
Hot takes from Paul Perillo.
No, but I'm not comparing 09 to this. I'm just saying in 09, that could have been what happened and why it was more than one player.
We also know for a fact other players between 09 and now have been sent home for being late.
Yes.
So this isn't, you know, earth-shattering, season-ending anything.
No, but I think it's problematic when one of your key players is the one doing it. You know,
now,
if a practice squad guy does it, who cares? If the guy at the bottom of the 53 does it, who cares?
Well, see, I actually really worry about stuff like that. Because if the nobodies feel like they can walk all over me, you have a real problem.
Not that they're
at least
walking.
He's a superstar who probably has walked over every coach he's ever played for.
I'm not saying that they're doing it to walk all over the coach, but maybe they're just not that type of personality.
Doesn't matter.
You know, like, what was his name? Brandon Dedrick.
Fell asleep and
was a guy who, like, it was just, that was his personality.
That gets to your point, like, though, Andy. We know this isn't the
right.
You know, between 09 and now, we know this has happened.
But part of the culture I'm building as a head coach is that can't happen. You understand the importance of what we're doing from the littlest thing, being on time. And that's the other thing. You know, he was late for a 7:30 meeting, reportedly. Well, all we hear about is all the guys that are really on board are here at 6 or 6:30. Like, that's my point. When you really care about something, you're there early. You know, I'll give you an example. When I do Comcast, it's a long drive if I'm coming from home. I'm always there like 45 minutes or an hour early because I don't know if there's going to be construction, a lane closed.
You'd rather be waiting there than somewhere
else. Sweating it out.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than sweating the drive out.
But there are other people who I know for a fact roll in there around 9:55 to do a 10 o'clock show.
I'm not that kind of person either.
Exactly, and it says something about that person and where they prioritize what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's my point.
He's just ripping me.
You roll in like 2 minutes before?
No, I don't. Not like there are some people that
do that.
Literally go. I mean, but they do it by design. I mean, there are times that something happens.
Well, you guys
I hit
roll
traffic
into this show like, you know, with the clock.
Yeah, I don't think it says anything about me at all.
And we're in the building.
I know. I can't understand why
you're too busy putting the paper together.
No, we can
and I absolutely love doing this show, so it really doesn't say anything about it.
No,
and we can
actually
do this
working.
Show every day if you wanted us to. This would be my job.
Wait, but why do we need to be here
let
early?
Me do that.
Why do we need to be here early?
What happens if the problem with the mic, or we have to get something done, or, you know, you never know.
Get what done?
Just get here a few minutes early.
Show
that's
prep.
All.
Show prep.
We don't do show prep, so.
So maybe we could have a better open then. All right.
No, that's on him. He's here 45 minutes early.
You know, back to the 2009 thing too, Fred, and I don't know this to be true, but I heard some people talking about this on the radio, and I think there's probably some validity to it. you might say, oh, all four guys were repeat offenders, and that's why he suspended, you know, he
sent them
home.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm saying, like, it's hard to believe that all four guys
right.
had been chronically late. So if you remember, there was a kind of a fluke snowstorm, unseasonable snowstorm that came in
right.
before that. I could see Belichick saying, listen, we're supposed to get right. some weather tomorrow.
Leave early.
Do what you need to do to leave early, to get here on time.
That's right.
And then, Jetsons.
You know,
and then
60 guys were on time and four couldn't make it, right. or whatever it was,
or,
know, the practice squad and all that.
And the same thing with this one. Look, I'm giving you Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off.
Yeah.
You know,
that's my point. No excuse.
Can you at least be on time Monday?
If he were late, Tuesday. Come after they had a Monday night flight back from Kansas City, and we all know you get back at 5 a.m. and I got to be back. Okay, maybe you can sell me on you didn't. The phone wasn't charged because you went. You fell asleep as soon as you got home. But
might that have been the problem? Might he have been somewhere and then he got back?
No. But that's not an excuse in this.
Oh no.
That's not
absolutely.
You had 4 days off because you know slow getting back from the Bahamas is not my fault.
Yeah, but
get an earlier flight.
But I think to Eric's point, like that, he kind of doesn't really seem completely engaged.
But that's what it is. It's the person. It's the priority. Fred, we had it here. I'm not going to name names, but we had a snow game here where certain individuals.
Dave Dudek, I'll name names.
Okay, there it is. Right? And we all made it, and some people didn't.
Right.
Like, if you want to make it, you make it.
That's
right. You know it's coming, you prepare, and it can be annoying at times because you waste time.
I had to drive uphill the whole way in that snowstorm. Right. And
both,
I made it.
Both ways?
It
both
ends up ways. Not being as bad as you thought, but.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But I don't want to make more than it is. I don't know his history. I don't know his history here or in New York. You know, whether he was late in New York and Tampa. I don't know what he did with Schiano because Schiano's a tough guy, but they clearly butted heads and it didn't work. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, 508-298.
His bigger issue, by the way, this week is can he cover one of the Bears receivers? Right. That's what I care more about.
Well, he's covered Brandon Marshall in the past.
I'm not all that worried about
pretty effectively.
I know. You think the Bears stink. I know. You've said it a million times. And I can't freaking wait till next Tuesday when we're talking about a Bears win. Wait, what?
508-298-0398.
I always knew we felt that way, but now it's on the record.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 855-PATS-500. Anything else you want to put on the table before I get to the calls?
Eric has an update on 69.
Practice, yeah. I wish I had a better update
for
you.
Well, you know, careful what you wish.
Chandler Jones, still the only player not at practice.
Not on the roster who wasn't on the field? Nothing. Sorry.
What?
That's all right.
There were some misleading tweets on Twitter.
Please,
he feels the need to interrupt everybody. That's just what he does.
There was a misreported injury report early that had a lot of guys not practicing at all.
Yesterday,
it was a cut-and-paste problem.
Right. Yeah. I called PR immediately to say, I think there's a problem here.
Right.
And,
right.
Oh, yeah, there was.
We apologize.
Funny to just three people.
big but anyway, from one of them, though.
Anyway, Chandler Jones, again, the only player not there. There was a new guy. Defensive lineman, it looked like, number 69.
Now, could it have been Alan Branch?
Was he 6'6" and 350 pounds?
He didn't look that big to me, but he also, everybody else on the 53 was there. There was only one guy, Kona Schwenke, the practice squad.
Schwenke?
D lineman.
That's how you say that?
He was the only one not seen, so I would have to assume that the 69 is a practice squad guy, and I don't think Alan Branch has practice squad eligibility.
No, God, he's like an 8-year veteran.
So those two,
that much?
Those two factors, I would say it's not Alan Branch.
Seven, maybe.
Okay. All right.
And yeah, because Alan Branch, I think, would stick out.
But Storky's back out there.
Everybody, okay. Everybody's out there except Chandelier.
All right.
Wow! A little shot at the durability for the.
I've always called him Chandelier.
Glass Chandelier.
No, Chandler.
When that's what they used to call Chandelier. Scott.
They called Chris Chandler.
Chris Chandelier
was soft as
crystal Chandelier.
Crystal Chandelier because he was always hurt.
Right. But I don't call him that.
No. Schwenke.
You Schwenke.
Why have we not talked about this guy more? He's fun to say.
Yeah, but
Schwenke.
He was fun to say.
So he's gone, and that opens up the spot for Jagarrad Davis to go back.
No, because there's a 69 on the field. That
69 the player that fills in.
So we have to figure that out. We'll be getting a press release later, I assume.
I would assume.
You would hope.
Yeah.
Schwenke.
But everybody was quick to say Alan Branch was on the team, and Alan Branch is still not on the team.
That's true. That's true.
You can never read
Can I give you the grassy knoll theory on that?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Maybe I shouldn't.
I think you already did.
Well, if it's just a theory, you're
yeah. Right. There's a theory out there.
Well, it's certainly not derogatory to anybody, but I'm just wondering, and I have no idea. Maybe he's already out there, and this is completely a moot point. Maybe that they contacted Alan Branch and told, yeah, we're going to sign you. And so whoever the people found out about it because maybe Alan Branch's agent or whoever
yep.
told somebody. So mm-hmm. that's why the media found out about it. And then, you know, is it possible that Bill went to Robert and said, well, we're going to sign Alan Branch. He's got this DUI. And Robert said, nah, I'm not sure that's a
I
good
sign. I think it's very possible.
And I don't think that necessarily paints anybody in a negative light. So I don't.
No.
know if it's controversial, but is that possible? Like, well, who was that? Remember that Jag guy that we signed and then we didn't sign? Like, maybe two
yeah.
years ago,
yeah,
early in the year?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he was tweeting out, I'm a Patriot, blah, blah, blah. And then Robert reportedly said, no, you're not.
Who was that?
I forget the guy's
name. Well, I mean,
what
did he...
North Carolina.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it's very possible. Yeah. But, you know, we'll never know. But
I mean, I that's kind of my theory on this is that that's why we haven't really heard anything since Tuesday night. Right?
Yeah.
Tuesday night we heard about Alan Branch has signed, and we have, I mean,
well, was
you
the
would
first,
think that you'd want to get him
the
in as
first
fast
was
as
the,
you could.
The first was the Akeem Ayers, and then right after Akeem Ayers, it was like, oh, by the way, Alan Branch, too, was yep. reportedly signed.
You'd think you'd want to get him in as quickly as possible if you wanted him to play, right?
I think, you know, maybe they talked to his agent, or it could be once they actually talked to Alan Branch, it's like, you know what, this guy really isn't.
Yeah, well, he might have been a fat bastard
my
who
other,
was out of shape.
My
it
other
could
theory,
be better. They just didn't like some of the answers they gave to the questions.
Well, that was my other theory. Well, they wouldn't have gotten the information out there that they signed him, though.
Well, maybe they really didn't sign him. They
or were planning
they were talking
to,
about
or, yeah.
it, and he jumped the gun, Alan Branch's camp.
Yeah, I think Andy's theory is more plausible.
Based on his.
All of a sudden, I'm going to sign Alan Branch, and then Alan Branch comes here for a physical, and they went,
oh,
that's not the guy I thought we were signing. Right. You know, all of a sudden,
it's
he's
on the
50
Perillo
pounds heavier than I thought he would be.
Right. Yeah. So.
And that is his, I mean, he's a big, massive, fat, underachieving kind of guy.
Yeah.
So that's certainly plausible.
All right.
He's joining us now on the phone, Alan Branch.
Yeah.
That's how the Xbox postgame one, Xbox One postgame live.
All right, let's get
goes.
To the phones. Let's go to Wisconsin. Corey's on the line. Hey, Corey. Hello.
Hey. So I read an article on SportsCenter the other day about a hypothetical trade for Tom Brady for a star receiver in an early round draft pick. What are the odds?
Zero.
It's an interesting story. Did you hear
zero.
Anyone talking about that today? Greg Garber, I think, wrote that. Some potential blockbusters at the trade deadline. Tom Brady for Andre Johnson in a first round pick.
No.
That's what I read.
If it had been
is that even possible?
Well, anything's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I
wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do that.
I think you're sort of short circuiting the rest of 14 and probably 15 if you do that.
I was thinking of a real blockbuster and, you know, within the division, this Tom Brady for David Harris and Nick Mangold.
That's not serious, is it? That'd be the worst trade in the history of trades.
For who?
For an old linebacker and an old center?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, that would be the worst trade ever.
Okay.
I would Tom Brady for anybody would be a worst trade ever.
But, no, if you could tell me a first-round pick and Sammy Watkins – But
I was going to say
Johnson.
I was going to the same team, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean Andre Johnson's a year or two away from just flat out being done. He and Brady are both, you know, yeah, he's a great player, and I would like him for the here and now. But I don't want him for the here and now for a year with Garoppolo. If I trade Brady, it's either multiple first round picks or young talent that's setting me up long term.
And if you traded him to Houston right
for
now,
J.J. Watt.
Well, that's how on EEI, they got to J.J. Watt. And
yeah,
Jerry says he still wouldn't do it.
J.J. Watt and a first-round pick?
He said he wouldn't do it.
Holy crap.
That's why.
I would.
Ridiculousness.
Yeah, but Houston wouldn't.
No, I know.
No, yeah. No way.
Well, don't pee on my parade.
But if Houston were to trade for Tom Brady.
Tell me it's raining.
Right now. Right. You guys all steal my lines. 3-4, right? The Texans are 3-4. If they traded for Brady, they would have a chance to get a wild card.
Wow, you never know.
Okay.
Brady goes in there and goes, Andre, I know you've been doing it one way for 15 years. You'll do it the way I want it.
Okay. In theory, he's going into an offense that he knows.
We know Billy O'Brien would sell his soul for Tom Brady.
So I think there's a chance that 9-7, 10-6.
Yeah.
If he went and played the last 10 games with Houston, last 9 games. So now you're getting a first-round pick that might be in the 20s.
Right.
And there's no way I would take Andre Johnson.
Right.
It would have to be a young guy.
J.J. You know, Watt and Andre Johnson. Yeah, I mean, J.J. Watt in a first-round pick.
Obviously, Houston's not trading you J.J. Watt. But
right, that kind of defeats the purpose of building a championship team.
How about Clowney?
I would take Clowney in a one.
I think it would be rather poetic if Brady was traded and won another Super Bowl. I'm sure Belichick wouldn't be too happy about that.
No. Well, he does.
So there's a silver lining behind everything.
Why is this coming up again, trading Tom Brady?
Because some guy wrote a column.
I know the trade deadline's next week.
Someone wrote a I think it was Greg Garber on ESPN.
I know. Patriot hater, by the way.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that.
Really? Well, oh, I might. No, you're right. No. Sorry.
I
wrong Greg.
No,
yo, I was wrong.
You're thinking of Easterbrook.
Sorry, different guy. Different Greg.
Woo. Yeah, he had some Marshawn Lynch from Seattle to where did he have him going? Who really needs a running back?
New England.
Patriots. to the Chargers.
Okay.
Corey, were you reading this story? Do you have the story in front of you? Because there was some really, like, Mark Ingram.
I don't.
To Dallas.
Would you give Seattle
to back
Amendola
up
in a
Murray?
Second round pick for Marshawn Lynch?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Even though I hate Marshawn Lynch.
Sure.
I think he's a
of
dink of
the player.
Biggest dink
for the player, yeah, that's a good move.
I am of the belief you need a running back, and he's a good, proven postseason physical runner.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, you know my theory. If we can't sign players anymore because we once signed Dallas Thomas, then we have to stop picking in the second round, so trade him.
Okay. All right, Corey, thanks for the trade talk. Melvin's
Sean
in Tennessee.
McCoy,
hey, Melvin.
To the Raiders, which I had no idea what that meant.
Quick question, just kind of getting back to just really how I feel about the team. I still feel like this team is really, as midway through the point, like no different really than last year. I still feel like we have, you know, a number one in pass defense or whatever. Like, I feel pretty confident the team, once start playing these type of teams, they can pass on us. Run defense is kind of down, kind of what Paul said a couple weeks ago. But I think it's what he's trying to get to. I think he's arguing with Fred, but
probably.
I still feel the same with, like, this team defensively won't be able to stop those type of teams. I still feel like this team's going to be offensively driven. And with the offense kind of being still, we're better with the weapons, but the line's still kind of, you know, iffy and health and stuff like that. I still feel like this is going to be an offensively driven team. And
yep, that's how I feel.
And fortunately, the offense seems to be picking up some steam. So maybe if you can keep the weapons, you know, the big difference was Gronk last year. You know, you lost him. But if you can keep him in the mix, maybe offensively you have enough to get by and tread water in this section of tough games.
Right. So, like, I feel like a lot of teams have gotten better. Like I said, like the Chargers and maybe the Colts and stuff like that. So I still feel like our ceiling is just about where it was last year, which is good still. AFC Championship game or whatever it is, that's long term. But, you know, after that, I feel like, man, we're going to need some luck. We need some turnovers. We're going to need that to take it to the next step. But facing the Bears, getting back to the Bears real quick, I feel like that's a good starting point. This is probably one of the easier teams. I still, it's a challenge. But
preach it, Melvin. Preach it.
Yeah, they got good weapons. You know, you got a running back that you're going to have to tackle. You can't stay in second and one and two and stuff like that. You're going to have to stop them with their weapon. So I feel like this is a good starting point to, you know, start facing the Broncos and Green Bay and stuff like that. But if we go, you know,
how is this an easy team?
Whatever it is like that, then I feel like we're
the
exact same team we are. Exact same. So we're just, well, I feel like we're 11-5, something like that. Then when the playoffs, we don't get turnovers, we're gone.
So in the AFC title game.
So you're assuming... Right.
Maybe, thanks, Melvin.
The difference is that I think there might be more teams in the AFC than we thought heading into the season. I think Melvin's right. I think Indy's better than we thought. I think San Diego's better than we thought. Maybe even Baltimore's better than we thought.
Baltimore's definitely better than I thought.
Indy's not better than I thought. I had them in the AFC Championship game,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I had them as a top three contender.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you've been down on the Patriots for quite some time, so I'm not surprised that you thought were better than the Patriots.
My assumption for Indy is every year they're going to get a little better.
I think like that too, but I feel like right now, I thought Indy last year was sort of still in that scrappy overachiever mode.
Yeah, right.
I don't think they're in that mode anymore.
No.
And I think the first time that Andrew Luck beats the Patriots might start that I think that's sort of going to be letting the genie out of the bottle. I think it's going to be tough to beat him.
You could be right.
He gets over the hump.
There's a reason why everyone's so high on Andrew Luck, because he's going to be...
He's the real deal.
Yeah, he's going to be the best quarterback in the AFC eventually.
could be the best quarterback in the NFL eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, even in the AFC, you've got Peyton Manning now, who is the best.
Yeah, but he's not going to be around for that much longer.
That's why I know. Going into the season, I thought it was Denver and New England in the AFC. And I thought there was a clear mark after those two teams. Indy, San Diego, Cincinnati were behind.
Right.
I no longer think like that. I think that it's Denver and then a clear mark.
I think you're right. You know, even
right
Cincinnati.
Now, listen, it's only seven games.
For about another 10 hours, maybe, until the Chargers blow the Broncos off.
And you know what? I'm not going to be stunned if that happens. A Thursday night game, they beat them on a Thursday night at home last year. San Diego's a good team.
Right.
I won't be stunned if the Chargers win that game tonight.
No, I won't either.
I mean,
I'm picking Denver, but I would not be surprised.
But again, you guys make fun of me about judging a schedule at the end of the season. You know, when Cincinnati came here, I thought Cincinnati was playing the best in the AFC. Since that game,
they have not been.
They've been terrible.
Right. Yeah, I think that you know? Overestimated how well they were playing before then. But
maybe.
There's no question what's happened since then.
Yeah,
and then you moved on to San Diego as the best team.
And then they lost.
They
last
haven't
week.
Played.
Right.
Yeah.
As soon as Denver is the best team.
Right. That's why there's a method to your madness. Right. As soon as you tie yourself to a team,
so you don't think
apart.
The Patriots are the best.
Not right now. No. I mean, come on.
No, he thinks they're the best, but he doesn't think they're the best.
Right. No,
they'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
I think they'll be fine, but right now, you can't say that they're playing the best.
It is interesting because this is the Bears are certainly not the Broncos, but it is a good test for your defense preparing for the Broncos.
Yeah,
you know, it's different because Cutler is no Manning; he's like the anti-Manning.
They're not as precise. They're not going to. Yeah.
It's a couple receivers, a tight end. You know, their running back is better than what Denver's.
In terms of
spreading a defense out. And challenging it in a variety of ways, this is a tune-up.
It's a good test.
And the other thing,
I don't know if you're ready for
it. We've talked a lot about the Bears' turnovers. And I think Cutler is seven picks, three fumbles, or something like that. So they turn the ball over a lot. But unlike the Jets, they take it away. They're only minus one in the turnover ratio, whereas the Jets are like minus nine. So, yeah, you might take it away, but. Maybe they take it away and sort of neutralize that a little bit too. So your whole thing, you keep sort of saying, like, because I say the Bears stink.
And everybody else.
And no, not everybody else.
Oh.
I will tell you right now, the next five games after this one, I will not be saying that team stinks. I won't.
Okay.
Denver, Indy, San Diego, Detroit, and Green Bay. I don't think any of those teams stink.
Okay.
So I know you think I say everybody stinks,
you do.
But I don't.
Jeez.
Chicago, you know, you keep saying, I can't wait till Chicago beats them.
No, I don't keep saying I said it once.
No, you said it a couple
don't
of times.
Don't pretend I said
you
it all.
You whispered it a second time, but we could hear it. We could hear it. You looked at Eric as if to say, you know, they're going to do it, Eric.
No, now you're full of, this is totally about making you look bad.
How does it feel?
This has nothing to do with anything else.
But it's not going to necessarily, listen.
Chicago, I know, you'll flip-flop and tell me why you were right.
No. Chicago could come in here and play a terrific football game. And just make the Patriots look bad. Do what they did to, like, what Kansas City did to them. And I'll sit there and say, hey, I didn't think Chicago had that in them. They were better than I thought. But to me, if Chicago's going to win this game, the Patriots are going to have to help them a little bit. And that's not going to tell me Chicago's any good. If the Patriots just go and play a sloppy
game.
You think
the Patriots have to help them?
Oh, God, yeah.
Interesting.
And listen.
See, I don't.
And
I think
I've
if Jay Cutler
times,
helps the Bears.
Upsets happen.
Jay Cutler
the
and the Bears
win
can beat
every
the
game.
Patriots. If Cutler does not turn the ball over, if he plays like Geno Smith, I think there's a chance for the Bears to come in here and win the football
I
game.
Understand that. But
and I don't need Tom
but
Brady
that would
to
be
turn
Chicago
over,
playing over their heads. They turn it over.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's playing over their heads.
That's all I'm saying. If they come in here and play a clean game,
Chicago,
that's not what they do.
There's a good Chicago and there's a bad
exactly.
Chicago.
Well, when did the good Chicago play?
On the road.
Just out of
well,
curiosity.
How did they win in San Francisco?
They turned it over and the other team turned it over more.
I just, how'd they win in Philly?
When did they do that?
I thought they'd be in, didn't they win in Philly earlier this year?
I think so. I don't know if it was in Philly. No, yeah, I think
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, because they haven't won
it. They haven't won at home.
Yeah.
They beat Philly this year too.
I'm pretty sure they.
I don't know. Look at the schedule. Can we look at their schedule?
They beat the Jets. They beat.
Yeah, they beat the Jets, the Niners,
and the Eagles. I thought.
Wow, that's a good win.
The Bears don't stink, Paul says.
But they're still 3-4. They still lost to Buffalo and Miami at home.
Well, we're debating.
And they were up by like 30 against the Panthers and blew it.
Well, they weren't up by 30.
Well, they were up by a lot against the Panthers, and
they had a 14-0 lead, and they blew it. Because why? Because they turned the ball over.
Because
that's what they do. But that's what bad teams do. I know that you think it's just a fluke when it's a turnover. I think bad teams turn it over a lot.
But it's not a. To me, it's not even a team thing. It's one guy. It's Jay Cutler.
It's not just one guy.
He has 10 of their 13 turnovers.
I understand that, but
that's what they do.
They're
that's
not
what, no,
good.
No, no, that's what he does.
And to Eric's
what
point,
he's always
you had
done.
A 14-point lead. If you had any semblance of a defense, you can.
See,
you can
I disagree.
Combat that.
I think one guy.
They're all hurt.
It's Jay Cutler. It's Jay Cutler and Bust. That's what it is. Like,
what do you? Just out of curiosity, what do you think Jay Cutler's numbers are this year?
I don't know. I know he's got.
Got a passer rating of like 96.
Right.
He's got twice as many. He's got twice as many touchdowns as intercepted. It's not all Jay Cutler, is what I'm telling you. It's not a really good team.
Well, no one said it was a really good team. It's a really good offense.
Yeah, they have
individual offensive parts, but they have not been able to score points with those parts.
They have not played Philadelphia.
Who'd they beat on the road?
They lost to Buffalo
right,
at
home,
Chicago.
Right.
They beat
San Francisco
at San Francisco.
Which was a very, very good win.
Right. They beat the Jets at the Jets.
Yep.
They lost to Green Bay at home at Chicago.
Yep.
And they lost to Carolina in Carolina. And then they beat Atlanta in Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta was the other win.
Right. And no, then they. Win.
So they have one good win.
They lost to Miami.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Do you want Cutler's numbers?
No. I think Andy just said them.
All right.
The 10 turnovers.
Okay. All right. So I think it'll be a good win. I'm not going to diminish the win.
It's not a bad win.
Well, wait a minute.
Who's going to diminish the win?
I'm not going to diminish the win. This is what you do. You say that
this is where you two are going to accuse each other of what you do.
No, but
he's going to say you diminish the other team, so
it's
not a good win.
Listen, and if I'm putting words in your mouth, correct me,
because you're not smart enough to do that.
No, because I think Chicago's not a very good team doesn't mean I'm saying it's not a good win. Is that what you think I'm saying? Do you think I have an ulterior motive? Because you always accuse me of that.
But
yes.
It's not a very good. I mean, if you beat a bad team at home, it's not a very good win.
Well, if you beat them like you beat Oakland. Then it's not a very good win. If you beat them like you beat Cincinnati, I don't care if it's 3-14. That's a good win.
Yeah,
If you play well, it's a good win.
If you just play a Joe average game at home and beat a bad team, I don't think it's a good win. It's
right,
just a win. You took care of business.
But that's all my point is. So to just say if they win the game, it's a good win. No, like if you beat Denver, no matter how you beat Denver, that's a good win. I'm not ready to put Chicago in that category. If you play,
he makes this leap like
no, I'm
from stinky to Denver.
All right, give me another example of a good but not great team.
The Bengals.
Okay,
I don't think the Bears and Bengals are all that different.
If they beat the Bengals at that time, no matter what, I thought that was a good win. They were struggling. That to me, the Cincinnati win was a great win because of the circumstances that you played.
No question.
If you beat Chicago 16-9, because the other team just can't get out of its own way, I'm not willing to say that that's a great win. Like they beat Oakland. But, like, I don't think Buffalo's a great team. I thought that was a good win. I thought the Patriots played well in Buffalo. That they had a couple of chances where Buffalo was sort of ready to knock on the door and get back in the game. They got it within one score, and the Patriots responded offensively with big drives, big plays. Second half offense exploded. I don't think Buffalo's a great team.
No,
but I thought that was a good win. They played well.
But to me, it's different on the road. But when you play at home, you're expected to win. You're supposed to be better.
They also,
when you play a bad team.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Like, they had bad wins against bad teams.
Raiders,
Jets.
To sit there and just say, that's a good win before the game happens. I kind of need to see the game before I just say how good I thought it was. If they play well, I'm not going to sit there and say they only played well.
I guess my point
Chicago.
Is if Jacksonville comes to Gillette Stadium, there's no good win. There's a win. There's no way to win that.
You take care of business.
Even if you blow them out, it's the Jaguars.
Yeah, well,
like, there's no good win. And if you think the Bears stink, I don't think there could be a good win this week.
But again, you always do this.
What? Say what you said?
You just accused me of saying going to extremes with Denver. Now you throw Jacksonville out there, the worst team in football.
Because they stink.
Isn't the bottom line?
Chicago's not stinky like Jacksonville is.
But aren't what we're talking about is looking at the game and say they played well.
Yes.
But you can't have a good win over
That's how I feel, Fred. You just summed up my thoughts.
I don't think you can have
sentence.
A good win over a bad team at home. It's just a win.
No,
it's
what you're supposed to do. Can you play well against a bad team?
Do you
play well against a good team?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you take care of business and play well?
Yeah.
So it's a good loss.
Well, they won't agree with that.
No, there's no such thing as a good loss.
See, I don't.
But you know what I mean.
No, but there is
no such thing as a bad win.
Like, I think the Denver Broncos had a good loss, right? They went into Seattle, right? And they fought, and they showed that we're a tough team. We're not going to get blowed off the field, like Emmitt Smith would say.
And there's no
coaches
moral
won't say that's
we
a good loss, but it's a good loss.
Right, and we you get fought. It. There's no moral victories, but Andy's right. You can judge by the way you play, and then you can take into consideration the caliber of opponent that you
and
played.
The Jets. If the Jets weren't 1-6, they had a good loss last week. The problem is
they're 1-6.
It's on the end of other losses. But if they were just, you know, a 4-2 team and they fell to 4-3 or something in there, that's a good loss. You went on the road against a division opponent. You fought till the finish.
But
you took care of the ball. You ran
had a chance
well.
To win.
But just because
that would have been a good road loss.
But I do think that the Patriots can show up, take care of business, play well, and that's a good win. Even though I don't think Chicago is a playoff caliber team.
No, it's a 6-game stretch. Somehow the Bears got lumped in with good teams.
That's true.
And I don't even think they're good, and they're not stinky, but they got lumped in with the toughest stretch in the history of the NFL. Yeah. It includes
the
Bears.
And if we're considering
the 85 Bears,
if we're considering like Oakland and Jacksonville, that's stinky. Then you're right. I don't think of Chicago like that. I think Chicago's a middling team.
That's all I said all year. Is that a middling team?
I don't think they're very good.
I don't think you can have the kind
of
talent they have on offense.
I think
and be
people
just a
fall into.
Stinky
I think
team.
People fall into this trap a lot, and I do a lot. I'm not making fun of others. I do this a lot. I think people say, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, Jay Cutler. Yes, those are all extremely talented players. They're all very good players, and they are capable of playing really well. No one talks about who's covering Gronk, who's covering Edelman, how are they going to deal with Brady?
Sure.
No one talks about the other side.
Willie Young and Jared Allen are going to drive him into the turf.
But do you think that's going to happen?
No, but it could.
But do you
got a career type
pass rusher
and a Willie
Young.
Oh, I know more than you do.
Absolutely.
It's the new sports bestseller by Paul Perillo. This league stinks.
He's stealing my shtick. I said that 5 years ago.
There's certainly more teams.
But that's why, Paul, I think it's going to be a high-scoring
game. I think the league's better now than it was a couple years ago.
I think it might be a high-scoring game, too. I picked it to be 38-24.
Yeah,
you're going to yell at me again. 37, maybe 37-24.
Why am I going to yell at you?
Because you yelled at me when I said the San Diego 10.
Well, I guess we don't have to wait to do picks. Paul's given all his already.
Why would you want to cheat off my picks?
I won't. I'll go the other way.
Even though, I mean, I'm beating you. But, opposite, I mean, that doesn't say anything.
Let's get back to the phones. John's in North Carolina. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Great. What's up, John?
Hey, I want to speak some truth here.
Enlighten
truth
us.
Is, I don't know what Belichick was thinking when he went into this season with the interior defensive lineman he had. And the truth is, before Mayo went out, Mayo and Wilfork looked bad, and they were being gashed for 200 yards, approximately 200 yards rushing while we had Mayo.
Yep, that's true. You're right.
And I think, you know, we haven't seen the old Vince Wilfork this year, and I think, you know, I don't understand why we went in with, like, Joe Villano being a starter and all that stuff. I don't understand why we wait to get the season and then have an emergency.
Yeah, the depth along the defensive line, I mean, we all questioned it, and that's the root of the Tommy Kelly situation. No one would have a problem with it if we felt like that was a deep position, but it wasn't. And you took away a veteran there to rely upon guys who, as of, you know, 10 months earlier, were nobody's waiver wire pickups, practice squatters. I mean, you were really starting, you were relying on Joe Villano, Chris Jones, and Silver Salinga, who before last year had a sum total of, I think, no games played in the National Football League. And then they became your fill-ins last year, and suddenly you were all in on them? Enough so where you could just let a veteran walk and send
right.
him packing?
And you knew Easley wasn't going to contribute like that right away.
I assume, yeah. Right. And even that, beyond the potential unreliability, is the types of guys. Jones, Villano, and Easley are sort of undersized. They're sort of
right. They're not run stuff.
Tackle slash ends rather than tackle slash Wilforks.
Yeah.
So we questioned that at the time. That was as universally a questioned move, the Tommy Kelly one, as ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, far more questioned than Logan Mankins or
right. Everybody sort of blew off the Mankins as he's just a guard, he's overpaid.
And, yeah, the money and everything. But with
there
Tommy
was no
Kelly,
selling.
We couldn't understand.
Right. No one could sell me on why they, and I still haven't been sold on why Kelly had to be let go.
Yeah, I still think it's Kelly made demands and they were like, sorry.
How about
so you hurt your team?
Yeah. Yeah.
You pick
for
up
your
the
principles.
Paper or go
well, yeah.
to a national website, they make it sound like when Mayo comes back, you know, we're like a top 10 defense, and you know, we were giving up 200 yards rushing. So it's crazy.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, I mean,
Mayo's not coming back. So.
We overrated this defense. Everybody talked to, you know, I don't know about we, because I think we posed a lot of questions.
I overrated it.
But certainly nationally and locally, I think a lot of people overrated this defense, how good it was going to be.
I think the way we characterized it, though, was the right way. We said it has the potential.
Right.
If all of the questions that we brought up find solutions to themselves soon enough.
And I think we also said rarely do all the ifs go to the positive.
Yeah.
Some of the ifs go to the negative.
One of the things, and I know, Fred, you and I argued about this during the summer, that I feel like was overrated was the return of the injured people. Mayo, Wilfork, and the like, because I didn't feel like it was a great defense when all those guys were playing. And this is more Mayo Wilfork than Kelly, because Kelly was only here for six games or whatever it was last year. And I think a lot of people felt when these guys are back, plus Revis,
plus Browner,
this is going to be a great defense.
Yeah.
And I said, you've improved at left cornerback, because I feel like Darrell Revis, and I still feel this way, even though it's been a little bit up and down, I still feel Revis is a better player than Tlaib.
Yeah.
I'll take that swap any day.
I agree.
But I think that you took the very best member of your defense, and you improved on that member slightly Revis, and everybody thought that was going to turn you into this Seattle Seahawks-type defense that was going to dominate, and I didn't see it.
But it wasn't just that.
I know. Everybody overrated all the other guys coming back.
But yeah,
that's
also,
where I started.
Well, no, but everybody overrated, I think, Brandon Browner.
Everybody
took Jamie Collins against the Colts and said, we're going to see that 16 weeks. Ridiculous.
You added Brandon Browner. You didn't take away anybody to get him. So that added that depth that we've always been looking for at cornerback.
And that has worked out.
Better.
They have depth at
Hightower and Jones being a year better. Wilfork back. Mayo back. Kelly back. You know, this is going to be a good defense. I bought in.
Well, so did Rob Ninkovich. Rob Ninkovich probably got in trouble for saying that in the preseason.
A lot of people bought in, and this is not a criticism to the people that bought in. Everything you just said is rational. I just looked at it as I've seen those guys play, and they're not as good as Collins would be the lone exception. But the other guys, I mean, why did everybody think that Wilfork was going to be better than he was coming back? You know,
I did, because I thought he had a chip on his shoulder. I thought he felt doubted and nearly
Football
Focus cut
says he's like one of the highest rated interior linemen against the run, believe it or not. He's had more.
I find it hard to believe he can be dominant when you're giving up 200 yards a game.
I don't know how they get
only three times.
I don't know how they get these numbers, but. You know, in terms of getting in the backfield and making first contact and all that stuff.
I can't pick and choose when I use them as a source, so I'm just going to use them as I don't believe them.
Yeah.
I don't believe him on Brady. I don't believe him on Wilfork, even though I'd like to, because I predicted him to have a big year.
I've seen him get more penetration.
There? That was a very Paul-like
I've
turn.
Seen him get more penetration in the past, but just miss guys.
You know? Wilfork?
Yep. Absolutely.
Did you say in the past?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. This year I've seen him get more penetration, but just miss guys.
Oh,
I haven't noticed Vince Wilfork.
I haven't noticed that.
Anything other than being on roller skates for the most part, I haven't really noticed.
Well, I can think of individual plays, but.
Yeah, like the one in Miami on opening day.
Right, where he lost the game.
He had no Sean Moreno dead to rights in the backfield and missed it. I'm not saying he never gets penetration, but I haven't noticed a lot.
I have.
And I don't necessarily think that's what we're looking
for. I haven't. He gets his arm there and he just can't make the play he gets spun around. But I've seen him make first contact. I have. A lot.
You think he's had a good year?
I think he's
missed a lot of tackles then?
Yes.
So that's not good.
No, but,
he said you had a good year. Yes, he's missed a lot of tackles.
But in terms of getting back,
what?
And maybe he's not playing two gap, I don't know. But I've seen him in the backfield more than I have in the past.
But you haven't seen him make a lot of plays.
No.
So that's not,
that's not a good year.
I'm just saying, in terms of penetration, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it equals a great year. I'm just saying he's getting back there. He's just not making the play.
Yeah, and I'm not putting it on Vince. I'm going back to sort of what we were expecting. And I think that the guys that were coming back, we were expecting to all play at a level at least that they were at. And I think that the more reasonable expectation was that they're older coming off injury, probably not going to exceed the level they were at.
I overvalued the chip.
You know,
I thought he was going to, you got to make me redo my contract and I'm 30. I can't come back from this. I thought he was going to come out just like,
I don't think that Vince is the problem. I mean, I'm with Andy. I don't necessarily agree with the Pro Football Focus view, but I also don't think the reason we're allowing 200 yards a game on the ground is because Vince Wilfork isn't doing his job. I don't think that's it.
It's Jamie Kelly. I mean,
Jamie Collins. I think,
and Tommy Kelly,
the linebacker,
because he's in Arizona.
I think,
and the scheme.
I think the scheme on it. Yep.
Yeah.
Bill
Belichick.
Well,
I think the personnel is a lot bigger problem than the scheme.
And Bill Belichick said it. He ended one of his answers, put that on me. And, Bill, don't worry, I do.
Well, if he doesn't, Eric is making sure that he's going to let it go every time. But I just feel like we thought that they were going to do things. You know, like I said, I think you said Browner is going to give you some depth. I think that's happened. I think they have depth at cornerback.
Not because of him, though.
No, I think he's another good player at cornerback that they didn't have last year. They still have Arrington. They still have Ryan. They still have Dennard.
Right.
But now you have Browner, too. So I do think you've added to your depth at cornerback. I didn't think that he was going to come in and be this lockdown cornerback.
I don't even know if he's a good corner.
Because if he was that, he wouldn't have lost his job.
All I've seen is a guy that's out of shape and can't play.
Well, that's
more
what
than
we've
two
seen
series.
So far, but that's one game.
It's funny though.
No. I actually credit him for the other games too. So one game he played and two games he missed. Right?
What?
Suspension was 4 weeks.
Right. He didn't play against
Buffalo.
We
played seven games.
He played against the Jets.
There's three he didn't play.
The other.
Well, they've played.
I put all of those on. I now fully believe
he didn't play until
the playbook was BS.
Yes, he wasn't activated for the first
BS.
One. He was activated and deactivated for the second one. And
correct.
He played.
Yeah, I think it's because he's out of shape. I think we saw the reason this week on the field.
Yeah, I'm just talking about his play
gassed.
On the field.
Yeah, I haven't seen him do anything on the field except try to hold people.
I haven't seen him
and
do
part of either. That is because he's out of shape. So I don't know if he's a good player because I don't think a good player who I can count on this late in the season is out of shape when there's no excuse
just
for it.
Just ask yourself this, Fred. If Darrell Revis were suspended for the first four games, when do you think he would have played?
Game five.
Right.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't even put it that far. If Alphonso Dennard had been played, I think he might have played game five. I think a lot of guys would have shown up in shape. And he wasn't. Because he still isn't.
If Darrell Revis weren't in the best of shape, when would he have played?
Week five.
Yes.
Week five. See, that. To me, this is a multi-layered
assuming he
thing.
Showed up on time for the game.
Yeah, assuming he didn't miss the bus. But I think it's a multi-layered thing. I think people are fixating on the stories as to why Browner wasn't active. When I think a part of it, I'm not saying all of it, a part of it is he's just not that good.
But that's my point. You said that you added a good corner. I don't know that they added a good corner.
I said they added another corner. They have more depth at corner. He was not there last year.
But to
they
me,
have not. He's better than Phillip Adams and Sterling Moore.
Yeah, maybe.
And those kinds of guys. He's maybe. A better player than those guys.
I'm just thinking he might be Alan Branch. He's an out of shape guy who's on the back end who's not that good.
We'll see.
Who another team didn't want. And had an off the field issue.
And I'm the negative one.
Well, I have seen nothing to wow me about Brandon Browner.
I at least think that he added to the depth at cornerback, Fred.
Only in the fact that there is a body on. I don't know that he's anything more. Can somebody sell me on Brandon Browner?
You don't think he's better than Logan Ryan?
Based on
what you've seen?
From what I've seen now, if I remove reputation, no, I don't think he's better.
See, I think he played better than than Logan Ryan on Thursday.
I think he stinks.
What about the tape from Seattle? How he played when he was playing in
Seattle. A big physical beast who grabbed onto people.
I mean, that's all you're saying?
And I saw a big physical beast who couldn't even grab onto people because he was so sucking wind.
Yeah, I think he's better than that. But
I have seen nothing.
Matt's in California. Hey, Matthew.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
Good.
Jude.
That's good. So I got a couple points here. Well, this game in Bears, I think it's going to be like Steelers last year. Remember Steelers? I think we're going to go in there. We're going to get an early lead. Then Jay Cutler's not mentally tough. They're going to lose their legs behind them. So I think we're going to win this game maybe like 48-21. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's last year's Steelers game.
It's almost like another a 50-burger.
Wow. Okay.
Well, yeah, something like that. Not 50-burger, but it's going to be a blowout like that. I think this is that game this year where we're going to get...
You know what I like about that? I think very similarly of those two teams.
If you guys want to make a trade, you don't want to get like a lot of for running backs. We do need a running back. Maybe Ryan Matthews, it's like his injury is like, it's weird. I don't know if he's going to play or he's not going to play, but you can get him for cheap and he can just fill in. I think he can fill in pretty good with his offense.
I don't think there's a chance in hell San Diego trades Ryan Matthews. I disagree totally that they would trade him for cheap. I think they're dying to get him back. That's how they want to play. They want to run the ball. And but they got Oliver going now. They want Matthews back so they can keep doing it that way.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, I might be wrong. I'm not out in San Diego, but the way I look at it from afar is San Diego wants to control the clock and run the football and pick and choose when they throw with Rivers.
Yeah. The reason I said that is because the running back, Brandon Oliver, looks like he's been playing really
Yeah, he has.
Well.
He's played very well.
Yeah, but another point is that last week I was laughing my ass off when you guys bring up that Trent Dilfer thing. Oh my god, I was laughing. That was really good. That was really good.
If you lose, you can't win. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I showed that to a couple of my friends, and I'm a Patriot fan. But I showed them on the little part, and they're laughing their asses too. That was pretty good, guys.
That's awesome.
All right, thanks, Matt.
That sound clip is one of the best things that we've ever had.
Just an update on, remember I was telling you guys about the big hit that Jamarl Charles took?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
Did
yeah.
you hear Finally. Us talking about it?
No.
Him?
Oh, yeah. He no. said, it was, you know, I didn't think I needed to go through concussion protocols. It dinged me a little bit. I was seeing the light bugs and trying to grab them.
Okay.
And you don't think you needed concussion protocol?
Wow.
I know they're getting a lot of heat for it.
Holy crapoli.
Maurice is in Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
Hello. Hello.
I guess they're having a little...
Turn down your internet!
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Great, Grant.
It worked.
Hey, All right.
We're waiting.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we're waiting.
We can hear you now. We can hear you say nothing so far.
All right. Guys,
We're waiting.
We have too many undrafted free agents on this football team. That's why we can't go where we need to go. As far as, going up against the likes of the Denver Broncos and the other teams in the AFC, that's my main problem with this football team. We have too many undrafted
Well, every
players.
Team has undrafted guys, not just the Patriots. In fact, 30% of the NFL roster is made up of undrafted players.
Is that true?
I'm pretty sure that New England has more than any other team, and these guys are being asked to play. If they're not starting, they're asked to play vital roles in this team. And when we have other stars like Revis and Wolford, those guys have to take up the slack for those other guys that can't perform. That's why we can't get past the Broncos and the other teams in the AFC Championship games in the Super Bowl.
Well, if you're saying in the big games the big stars don't perform, I'll buy that. But I'm not going to blame it on undrafted.
Which undrafted players do we have that are, I don't think of that many that are being asked to play key roles right now.
I don't really see it as a problem like last year. I thought last year there were too many.
Well, my problem is I don't think you should have the guys like Ryan Wendell, Josh Klein, Dan Connolly in the trenches, you want to have first to mid-round picks at that position.
Well, but they haven't. To me, Wendell and Connolly are no longer undrafted players.
Connolly was drafted. Stork was drafted. And Vollmer was drafted. Solder was drafted.
Right.
You're talking about one position.
But even the players
actually,
like Ryan.
Sure
Connolly
was
not drafted. He was an undrafted free agent with the Jaguars.
Oh, okay. I know that we didn't.
I also don't really care. At this point,
he's a veteran.
You can think he's a Jag.
Plus, but on the offensive line, I think tackles you definitely want to draft. If you want a premier player, you want to draft a tackle.
And they have a first and a second round pick.
I think you can get by at the other positions with either low round picks or undrafted guys.
Yeah, we weren't worried about
if
it.
If you have the right coaching.
You know, Russ Hochstein was there and we were winning Super Bowl.
If you have the right coaching, I'll add that caveat.
Okay.
Sorry, Gooch.
But I'd rather, I think the caller's greater point is valid in that they spend too much time drafting guys that, and I know I've said it before, shouldn't be drafted. And when you do that, you end up having all these other guys who are your free agents who end up making the team. If you just drafted better talent, you probably wouldn't need to get all of these other guys who are undrafted and playing key roles.
I agree with that last sentence. I don't know whether they're drafting guys who shouldn't be drafted or not, but the failure to draft is a problem.
Jermaine Cunningham shouldn't have been drafted.
Yes. Well, I don't know about shouldn't be drafted, but you failed on too many draft picks that force you to find other ways to fill those voids. Jake Beckett, Jermaine, you know, safety and defensive end are just two perfect example positions where you don't have good enough players or depth because you blew your second round draft picks on and third round draft picks on those positions.
Nate Ebner shouldn't have been drafted. But these are guys you could easily get the day after the draft. Yeah, you don't need to waste draft picks.
I don't know that. I know that they failed in certain aspects. Well, I don't know that they shouldn't have been drafted.
And the other part of that, listen, they've missed on too many second-round picks. I think we can all agree on that. Andy doesn't even want to pick in the second round anymore because, you know.
Well, no, if I'm going to use the Adalys Thomas logic, I said.
But not picking Nate Ebner, I agree with you, Eric. Those are the kinds of picks that really bug me for whatever reason, the Matthew Slaters and the Nate Ebners, who I love, Matthew Slater, love him to death.
He worked out.
That, to me, is an undrafted guy that you plug in and you hope to get that kind of career out of. I'm not necessarily feeling much better if I have a fifth-round pick that I can plug into the offensive line than I do Josh Klein, who's an undrafted guy that I'm plugging into the offensive line. It doesn't really matter to me.
I think when you get to the sixth, seventh round,
you're
doing favors to coaches that you like.
You're trying to find players. I'm not saying
not doing that.
No, I'm not
I'm
doing
still
that.
Trying to find players.
I'm
still
trying to find players.
I've got a whole bunch of people that are about equal. I'll take the guy from Fresno State.
Yeah, but they're doing that in the case of Wilson and Cunningham.
high up in the draft.
Too high.
Yeah.
That's why I said the second round picks have been a problem.
But they're not even doing that. Urban Meyer told him, don't take Cunningham, take Dunlap. And they said, no, Cunningham's the player.
But when you go fifth, sixth, seventh round, I don't think you're getting a ton of impact
players. By
they,
you mean he.
Anybody. I don't think anybody's consistently banging out frontline starters from the sixth round.
Right.
You know, this Tom Brady's are few and far between. But I think that with the caller's point, I think he sort of misidentified the spot. Because I agree with Andy the way you said, I don't really look at Conley and Wendell necessarily in that same undrafted
rhythm. Right. You know, like
they've
Chris
proven
Jones.
To be serviceable offensive linemen. You know what I mean?
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. So once you're in the NFL,
to
you
me,
are.
It's when you.
It's
when
not
you,
how you got here, it's what you do when you get
it's
here.
It's when you have to go out and make a trade for Akeem Ayers because. My only backup linebackers are Deontay Skinner, undrafted rookie free agent.
Yeah, Jagarrett Davis,
first-year undrafted guy.
You know,
you don't have anybody behind him because you don't have any depth that
you've
cultivated.
You know what the problem was the first 3 or 4 weeks? You were starting a six-round quarterback.
Ridiculous.
And you got rid of James Anderson.
But in the other part of it is...
And when you had Welker, you were relying on an undrafted guy.
You just touched on the other part. How many free agents do we sign every year? 5, 6, 7 guys. And the majority of those guys are undrafted free agent-esque, for lack of a better word. You know, they don't go out necessarily and sign a lot of Darrell Revises that were former first-round picks that they're bringing in here because they banged it out. If we sign former first-round picks, they were busts that we're looking to get. Maybe there's some talent there, and we're going to see if we can get something out of him because he hasn't worked out elsewhere. Or scrappy, unknown guys that we think are better than everybody else thinks they are, and we plug them in. To the caller's point, that's where I think they're a little talent deficient, not because of guys like Dan Conley and Ryan Wendell.
12-4. Jeff in FLA writes
in. The best coach in football. That's why you're 12-4.
Meanwhile,
he overcomes his own inadequacies as a GM.
Meanwhile, there's a game against the Bears Sunday.
Except for drafting.
Ditka
very, very
and Urlacher have joined the Chicago critics recently with poisoning remarks. I don't like facing a talented team playing angry. Patriots need to take the kill shot early this Sunday.
I agree.
Oh, early? This is a good game to get up and give Cutler a reason to sulk or drink.
Oh, boy. Ivan from Florida.
But what happened?
The vendor's going down. Can I get one?
That's a good point, but what happens if the Bears go up 14-0?
Now you're in trouble.
How does New England respond?
How do they respond? I think they'll respond fine.
You mean they'll win the game?
I don't think the Patriots can lose this.
They can't lose it early, but they can win it early.
Okay. Ivan from Florida, look
if
at
they
our.
If they keep losing, they can't win.
That is true.
Thanks, Trent.
Look at our
it's
history with mid-late.
It's easier to lose than it is to win.
Look at our history with mid- and late-round picks. With a couple of exceptions, it's a rather horrible report card. We have a tendency to trade very well, but drafting not so much. So before the trade deadline, Belichick should keep wheeling and dealing, particularly for a wide receiver, defensive end, and even a guard. I could see us going for Vincent Jackson, Andre Johnson, Darrell Young, and even Jahiri Evans from New Orleans.
Who's Darrell Young?
Jahiri Evans.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
They're not going to make all those trades.
Lie.
They probably won't make any of them.
Then they really, I would be wrong. They really would turn into Billy Bean if they make all those trades.
By the way, Charlotta was calling you out the other day. Remember when she said, if I get a linebacker, a big defensive tackle, and a running back, I'll be happy? We were talking about the next week.
Yeah,
and she got a linebacker, and she goes, I just need the running back, and I'll be happy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I saw that, and I actually tweeted her back. But, I mean, Alan Branch, to me, is not getting a defensive lineman. I mean, they don't have him.
They got
a backup linebacker, and we were all sort of expecting something like that. Maybe not that guy. I just had no idea.
But why is Alan Branch all that different than Akeem Ayers?
Because he wasn't on a roster. Street free agents you can sign anytime.
I think Akeem Ayers was barely on a roster.
Maybe. Maybe he can't play. Maybe he'll
second round bust picks.
And that's only another point in my favor. They haven't really done anything yet then.
See, I think they've upgraded their roster. I'd rather see Akeem Ayers play, and I may change my tune in 2 weeks, but I'd rather see him play than Jagarrett Davis.
Yeah, I think he's a lot better than Alan Branch.
Jules in New York, I got to say, that's Anthony all. From Naples, wow, his call yesterday was such a game changer. I just felt that he really brought it and can't foresee anyone reaching the bar which he has set so high.
Sarcasm.
Good,
honestly,
good call.
There was so much gold in that call, I think Kevin would make a new PFW intro out of it. On to Chicago. I don't take any of our games lightly, and I think our boys will play accordingly. I'm hoping to see Brady get his feet going a bit again in this game, as well as Gronk catching two touchdowns, and that our defense avoids any further injuries. Patriots win 31-21. Go PFW Elite. All right. Everyone's just quiet here.
Well, I thought he was taking some shots at our boy Anthony.
Think he'll call back and respond?
I think he will.
Calling you. Yeah. Can you read Debbie Bright?
Although he hasn't called in a while. He hasn't called that much.
I called her out yesterday, and you didn't even read her email.
Why are you calling people out?
Because it's the Giselle
thing.
She's
the Giselle. She defends her no matter what. No matter what stupid things Giselle says.
And Andy attacks her no matter what.
No, I don't attack her no matter what. I attack her when she dangles meat in front of me.
Must have, yeah.
When I was on All Access.
I'll read Debbie's email. You forwarded it to me, right?
I did.
She says, I heard you hating on Giselle about her opinion of being a good mom. Well, she's a mom. Tom didn't have those kids. What she is saying is that she has the right to her opinion. It's important to take care of yourself so you can be a better mom to your kids and a better wife to your husband. It's pretty clear that many women who sacrifice their own health and sanity in the name of taking care of family and husband don't help the kids by sacrificing themselves to the detriment of their health. Women who hate Giselle, to me, are just jealous and catty.
She's calling my wife out.
Giselle is not lecturing. She is giving her opinion. Some women who hate her need to chill and quit hating her out of jealousy. Men don't have the right to criticize women successful either, but they always do.
I think my wife is much hotter than Giselle.
Giselle is just your favorite target. She is not going to return hate with hate, so I should. So here's to the Pats going 4-2 in the next six games, beating Peyton with a stick.
Not
going to
do that hate for hate thing. He just can't throw the ball and catch it, too. No, she wouldn't stoop to that level.
Right. She doesn't preach. She just said it should be world law that everybody should breastfeed till they're something.
Yeah, I mean,
She tells me to shut my flipping light off, and she builds a 50,000 square foot mansion.
Of Giselle is
you turn your light off.
Account, but that's about it.
JD in Ontario, love listening to you discuss Patriots matters, but I've got an issue with something Fred has been saying.
Yep, me too.
Fred, I've been hearing that you're declaring Dominic Easley as more of a disruptor at the line and not someone who will provide pass rush. But I have to stop you there. Easley is an interior pass rushing defensive tackle. He's just not being used correctly, whether it is because of injuries to himself or others or because Bill's ego has been getting in the way of doing the right thing. He's been asked to play out of position. Easley is at his best playing the three technique defensive tackle and shooting the B gap. Why does Bill insist on asking him to two gap? He's going to get beat every time if he stays that way. If you don't believe me, Fred, just check his draft profile. It's written at the very end, cannot be counted on to two gap. Thanks for taking my email. Love the show.
And tell me that's not a Florida Gator email.
No, it's clear. It's from Canada.
No, but that's a Gator fan. I'm sorry, that person is choosing Easley over Belichick, and you're a Patriots fan. You clearly have some history.
I'm going by what I was told that he didn't get a lot of sacks at Florida, but he was disruptive and caused a lot of sacks.
This person's point is that he caused those sacks and caused that disruption by hitting gaps. And
well,
that's
who cares?
Not...
I never said he couldn't hit
a
gap.
No. Wow.
You know?
Fred.
I never said he couldn't penetrate.
Every other email writes in to make fun of one of the three of us. This is the first time anybody's ever written in to criticize you.
That's not true.
You need to handle it a little bit better.
But I didn't. Did
like
I say
Paul
it?
And I do.
Back away from the computer.
How else are you going to be disruptive if you're not in the backfield?
But you're shooting gaps, and he's claiming that he wasn't.
Did you get onion?
He's claiming that he has the two gap here, and he's being misused.
But I never said
that's all.
I never said
my God.
That.
You don't have to beat the poor guy up.
I don't know what I said that.
I don't think personally he's
two
gapping. I think personally
I don't
he's patty caking. I think the reason it looks like he's two gapping is because he's getting bitch slapped by guys blocking him.
I don't think they've exclusively been two gapping this season.
And you're not two gapping in passing situations. I haven't seen a guy who shows an ability to get off the line. That's the problem. He seems to just stay right at the line of scrimmage through the whole play. And I'm not ripping him because I think he's coming off an ACL, and I think we have to give him a full year. You know, it's sort of in fairness to him, but he hasn't been impressive, and I don't think it's just Bill misusing him.
I made that comment yesterday about the knee injury. You know, he wasn't ready to go at the start of the season. Did he get any preseason action? Maybe a little. You play in the last game?
No, I don't think he did. I think he was back at practice fully, but I don't
he
think
was.
He was. Yeah, he was sure back at practice. I'm not sure he got any preseason action as a rookie. That's hard. So I'm willing to – I thought we would get more. I was very excited about the pick. I understand the point, Ian. You said, yeah, I said I still like the pick, and you said I'm not as sure as I was.
If Bill knew he was a flat-out redshirt guy, basically, then I don't love the pick.
Well, yeah, I don't like the first – I mean, I know that he should have been taken in a supplemental – round before the draft even started, if he didn't have the torn
ACL. Sarcasm.
But I know everybody sort of fell in love with it. I like the pick because I like the player. But I agree with Andy. If they didn't think they could get anything or much out of him in year one, then I don't like it as much.
Especially if they were planning on taking a backup quarterback in round two.
We'll do one more email, then take a break. Dan writes in, I know the Bears stink, but I think some fans are a bit naive to say that there's no reason to fear the Bears' offense.
Paul.
Quick question. Better quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, Jets or Bears? Smith was a walking turnover going into that game and was able to pass on our defense with only one notable receiver.
Preach it, bruh.
Mm. Yes, the Bears' D is in the ICU, but the Jets' pass D was nothing to write home about, and I don't believe the Patriots' offense looked all that fluid against them. There were large stretches of time where it looked like they were having the same problems as earlier in the season. They won the game technically, but considering the final play, they might as well have lost it. I just think counting on the other team stinking is another way of saying if we catch some breaks, it won't matter that we can't match the talent.
That's a perfect email for my point of view. What do you think of the Jets' defense, Fred?
Good.
Okay. So all of the things that you said about the Jets, the only thing he talked about there was the Bears' skill position guys, which I agree are very good. I expect Chicago to be somewhere around the mid-20s, maybe even the high 20s. I don't expect the Patriots to throw a shutout. We're sitting there saying the Jets, you know, held them to 27 points. Yeah, I don't think that Chicago even can come close to the Jets defensively. And that's with all their cornerbacks, all their secondary guys out. I still think the guys that played for the Jets back there, Antonio Allen and guys like that, are better than anything that's going to be out there on Sunday for Chicago, provided that all of those guys are not going to play. I'm assuming Kyle Fuller won't play. He missed practice.
Yeah.
Did not participate on Wednesday.
He did not.
I'm assuming that all those guys are going to be out.
That's concerning for the Bears.
I'm assuming all those guys are going to be out. I do not expect the Chicago Bears offense to come in here and lay an egg. I think they'll move the ball and score points. I do not think that they will ever stop the Patriots, and that's why I don't fear this game.
All right, let's take a break now, Kevin.
But all we talk about is the offense.
We'll be right back with more calls and emails and then picks later on.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Before Jenny met her new nephew Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
soup. Is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster bisque, it just...
Because is a stew a soup, or is it
no
a stew?
No soup for you. It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Richard writes in.
Hey, Dick.
He says, this Sunday's game is the same old story. Matt Forte runs for over 200 yards. His jersey is clean and won't need the whirlpool afterwards because of a lack of being hit.
Fred's shirt's not clean.
Two, the Patriots' red zone defense will keep the Bears out of the end zone so much that Robbie Gould will get more fantasy points than Peyton Manning. Three, Brady and that collection of scrubs he plays with on offense will grind out enough points to win. Four, all the Patriots fans will whine about everything they did wrong and not appreciate a 6-2 record. And five, some jackass will call your show asking for Belichick's resignation. That's about it. It's about how it works every week. Right?
Sure.
Good job, troll.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Walter's in North Carolina. Hey, Walter.
How's it going?
Good.
What's up? I just want to touch on the Patriots and the players that they've either drafted, undrafted, or taken. I think that one big problem is that there's not a lot of roles or people knowing where they play. I think it's more of a situation where Belichick has put in a lot of hybrid players, and he's not putting the right scheme together to, you know, mask that number one defense that everybody's expected them to have. And I think that the offense would do a lot better if they had more of an elite running game, as far as people, somebody that they had to go into the box and try to stop.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I mean, they don't have a running game that you necessarily have to respect, and I think that would open up a lot of things in the passing game.
Belichick, his teams do work at some point in time, I guess, when they need to or whatnot, but I think that his schemes are lacking the fact that he's picking all these hybrid people and hybrid players and not enough role players. I mean, because I think the only people on defense that understand their role are the DBs. Other than that, I don't think anybody else really has a spot with the injuries that's happened and whatnot. Nobody else knows where they have to be, I think, or at least feels that's where they should be. So I think that that's one of our lacking reasons besides, you know, the reason why we can't stop the run or make, you know, good plays or whatnot. But that's just my take.
Okay. Thanks, Walter. Let's go to Malcolm in Toronto. Hey, Malcolm.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hey.
So regarding the defense, if in all likeliness Chandler Jones is going to miss out, so who takes this position?
I'm guessing Zach Moore. Wasn't that the word out of the locker room yesterday? A lot of players were sort of inferring that Zach Moore been taking a bunch of reps there for the Jones position. But, again, it also gets back to what is that position?
What are you doing? Yeah.
Are we trying to do the 3-4, the 5 technique position, or are we going more 4-3 and it's sort of that wide 9?
Right. See, I think it's just a different alignment because Jones was out for stretches, you know, in last game. Or was it the game before?
The game before that was the shoulder where he kind of was in a limited role.
So he was out for stretches there.
But and last week we saw the big nickel was almost base defense, and you know, I don't know what they're going to do. The Bears are a three receiver team. They, you know, it kind of caused problems this week because they put out a depth chart that includes a fullback but has no players listed at fullback, and they don't include a third receiver. But I'm pretty sure every game this year, I went back and looked at all, I'm pretty sure all the game books, they started in a three receiver set. So you're going to be in some sort of sub or Bears specific package the bulk of this game. Now, how that all manifests itself with no Mayo, a three-down player, no Jones, a three-down player, it's going to be interesting to watch early in the game.
Yeah.
What about the defensive backfield? Like, as a nickel corner, do we use Dennard or do we still go with Arrington?
Well, I think I'm assuming Browner is going to be a key part of the defense. If Browner doesn't become a key part of the defense this year, then I am really done with him.
Yeah.
When you're going to get up against a team with two big receivers and a tight end, if you are not a key part of the defense this week, then I just, you know, remember my Patrick Pass, peel the jersey off his back and get rid of him, because this is a week that calls for him to be a key part. And if that's the case, then yes, Dennard is my next in line. He's my third best corner.
Yeah, that's what they did on Thursday.
Right.
Well, you know, Dennard was the slot.
When Browner wasn't getting oxygen.
Not gassed.
And also with the linebackers, like, do we use Collins to cover Bennett, or do we use McCourty, like, by himself to just basically blanket?
I don't think you'll see McCourty by himself. That's a pretty tough physical matchup for him. We did mention earlier, Bennett didn't practice yesterday. That's a key factor for the Bears. If for some reason he is not ready for this game, that would be very concerning to me if I'm Chicago, because I'm looking to take advantage of that matchup in the middle of the field, because I'm going to stress you not just with Bennett, but with Forte. So that's safeties and linebackers, which may or may not be a strength of this defense covering.
Right.
I would probably say, Joe, you're going to try to have Jamie Collins and Bennett together a lot, and then the safeties have to deal with Forte. because Forte catches a lot of passes, not a super playmaker, though. Whereas I think Bennett, you could lose the game because Bennett just goes off and, you know, Gil Brandt. You got Jamie Collins, best coverage linebacker.
Could be a red zone guy, too.
Yeah, he's a touchdown guy. Cutler just constantly goes to Bennett in the red zone.
Right.
All right, thanks, Malcolm. Let's go to Fred in Delaware. Hey, Fred.
Freddie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I had a couple questions because I already know. I agree with Paul. This team's a joke. We're just going to go and cruise to this one.
Okay.
It's like a Steelers game from a couple years ago where we just dropped a whole lot of points on them.
Well, are they going to match up an undersized rookie safety one-on-one with Gronk? Because if I find if they put Brock Vereen on Gronk one-on-one and that's their defensive game plan, then yes, I am all for they're going to score 50 points this game.
That's what I'm saying. Like the same.
Who do they have? Steelers. Who else do they have?
I don't know.
I think you might see Brock Vereen in that matchup.
I don't think anybody should be one-on-one with Gronk.
But, I mean, I don't think that...
Ever.
I mean, listen, if Bostic...
Ever.
And, if Bostic and Briggs and
Ever.
Conti and all those guys can play and they're healthy enough to play, then maybe the defense can be adequate enough. All those guys have been hurt. They haven't
but
played.
But it's not just about injury or even talent. That was a terrible scheme from Dick LeBeau. It was a terrible decision
Dick LeBeau. I understand what you're saying, and it might not happen that particular way, Andy, but it's going to happen one way or another. They're going to bludgeon them to death if those guys aren't playing.
No, I know. And if I lose because Tim Wright beats me, okay. I lost because Tim Wright, because your complimentary fourth, fifth option beat me. I'm not losing because I made a piss-poor decision on how to try to deal with Gronk. I'm doubling Gronk. I'm doing everything I can to take away
but
Gronk first
and everything
else.
But they might lose because of Gronk, even if you do that, is what I'm saying. Because they have inadequate people trying to double-team him. I haven't seen really anybody take Gronk out of a game.
No, and you never will.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a question about the Denver game next week.
Nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, Denver game next week.
How many points do you think we have to score for us to win the game?
At least 35.
Yeah, in the 30s. Turnovers could sway that, but if you don't start it with a three, you don't win.
That's true. All right, guys, all I wanted.
All right, Fred.
You have no idea what weather is going to be and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, I mean, I would say you got to get in the 30s. That's what it took last year, 34, right?
Stinkman in Florida says, challenge for Fred. Please tell us how a delusional homer would go about defending the Patriots' defense over the last 5-plus years, and 12-4 is not allowed. Well, I think that they've never fallen below middling to points allowed. And isn't that the bottom line? How many points you allow as a defense? They've always been decent in not allowing a lot of points. That's, you know, a lot of that's been to the detriment of time of possession and stuff like that. But they've never fallen, you know, they've never, the floor has never fallen out when it comes to allowing points. And that's been... They're saving grace. But they can't get off the field on third down, and that hurts the offense. You know, when the offense puts pressure on the offense to know that, you know, we're going to have limited chances here. Whenever we're on the field, we need to score because the defense, you know, allows 5-6 minute drives, even if they end up in 3 points.
I would have gone with turnovers there myself. But
yeah. Or turnovers, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I
don't think they really do anything well except for take the ball away.
I'm so curious to the real story behind Tommy Kelly. It can't just be money. We know he's better than Villano and this new bum from Buffalo. Also, I think the pick of Easley at number 29 because of his injury history was not good value. And don't say he could have been a top 10 pick. There are guys every year that at some point were top 10 guys that get drafted in the third or fourth round.
That is true.
We take a lot of them. But I just also, I said it earlier, to compound it by taking a player that's irrelevant in the second round in Jimmy Garoppolo. Your first two picks, if you can kind of see, look at them as irrelevant. Now all of a sudden you haven't added, and that's the argument of those about the window and Brady and all that.
Well, that was the argument against Garoppolo. Well, he might be a great quarterback, but we're not going to use him for 4 years, and we need help now.
But you might not have heard that had they drafted something more impactful in the first round. Okay, you gave Brady this or you did this in the first round, but when you kind of double down, you annoy people.
Christian writes in, actually Chris in Philly, he says, just wanted to know that we're halfway through the season. Do you guys think we have enough talent to win the Super Bowl? I'm not asking if you think we will win, just if this team has a decent shot. I think if we can shore up the run defense late in the season like last year, and if guys like Dobson, Timms, and Tim Wright can become bigger parts of the offense, I really think we have enough talent to win a Super Bowl. Seattle's clearly not as good as they were last year. Neither are the Niners. And it's no guarantee they'll win the NFC. As for the AFC, our biggest obstacle is Denver. Do you think we have enough to beat them, or do we have no chance like Paul predicted last year?
I'm just going to let that one percolate for a minute.
I'm not sure about the last part, but if you're asking me at the halfway,
I think we got into some argument at the where halfway you screamed point, out, they have no chance.
At the halfway point right now, I would say they do not have enough talent to go to the Super Bowl.
But would you say no chance?
No. That's okay. Why I don't remember ever, because I think upsets happen. I say this. Chicago has a chance to win on Sunday, even though I don't think Chicago is very good.
I do think they have enough talent, but a lot of the ifs have to fall in their favor.
Well, a lot of the ifs that he just rattled off are guys that I don't necessarily think are all that talented.
Yeah, I do.
I know, because they're Patriots. No, so you automatically believe they have a talent that they have yet to, you know, display.
I do think they have a chance. If you made me pick right now, more likely win or not win Super Bowl, I'm going not win. Because I think they still have a ton of question marks in a lot of areas. And I still think if they win it, it's going to be because Brady, Gronk, Revis, the stars align. Literally, the stars do it.
Want to clean up some things before we get to the picks from yesterday. Steve writes in, India is a subcontinent, so Eric can suck it. Specifically, it is not part of the same tectonic plate as Asia and is sliding up towards Asia, creating the Himalayas. That's Phil from Western Mass. Thanks for clearing that up. So technically, it's a continent. But
so you were right?
No, technically, it's not a continent.
It's not a continent.
It's a subcontinent.
So it's not a continent.
Right. That's why I said country.
No, you said continent.
I corrected myself,
didn't
I?
Yeah, but we pounce on mistakes.
Yeah, but you didn't in time. I corrected before anyone said
it. Oh, I think we pounced.
No, you didn't.
I pounce often and quickly.
Yeah, she does.
just real quick, I am putting out a call to Mr. Liff because
a rapper.
The more it's been brought to my he's big time. He's like a legitimate rapper. I would, if he's really a big PFW fan, I'd like him to do a rap for us. You know, a PFW in progress.
Should I read it?
Paul and Andy rap or something.
Tim Warren, I read the rap that year.
Yes. I know it might take some time, but that would be awesome. If you really like us, we ask many people to buy lunch. If you wanted to contribute to the show, give us a rap we could use as an open or a bumper or whatever.
Colin is writing in from South Korea. Word. He says he's a first-time emailer, been listening about 4 years. He lives in South Korea. It makes it tough to keep up with the news, and without this podcast, I'd be lost.
Bet it'd be harder in North Korea.
Fred is the man, the best host in radio. I always look forward to Paulie's rants, and Andy is definitely growing on me. I almost spit out my dinner when he said, sorry, I have CTE, and I use that as an excuse all the time. Thanks, Andy. Oh, and Eric is also coming around, but he's way too sensitive. Thanks for everything you guys do. Take care, and P.S. Jets suck.
Now,
hear, hear.
Could we actually have listeners in North Korea?
I don't think we're allowed in.
Right. That's
it's
what
like
I.
A firewall.
No, right. Yeah. They control
like,
everything.
The whole country?
Well, yeah.
I'm
he's
joking.
A dictator.
Thanks.
And they what, still no haven't seen him, right, Fred?
No, he's back.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, yeah. He's limping a little bit.
Is it the gout?
I don't know.
There was some talk of the gout.
Talk? They're talking about the gout.
But can you imagine, like, you think about it. There's a country out there that can't get us.
What a.
And that's at the top of their list of things that they're deprived of.
No, but you just think of this day and age.
They can't eat, but you know.
No, but
they can't think for themselves.
You think in this day and age, everything is just sort of free flowing, commerce and everything.
Russia is thinking of closing off their walls too.
We're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, Iran has done it.
Because our walls are open?
Yeah.
No, because there's stuff brewing.
To me,
China's loading up on their military.
You know, not to get all political, but to me, all the military stuff and all that stuff is not going to work half as much as the free flow of information. I think as more of these backward countries learn about things that are going on outside in the civilized world, that's going to help a lot more than going in and occupying a country. I really think, you know, it's the flow of information that is getting these young kids to want more. To, hey, there's another way that we could be doing this stuff. Look at China. I've been told by people in China that the young kids are just waiting for their chance.
Right.
You know, they're waiting for the old people to die away. They know there's a better way to do things.
Me too. You Paul, know? Can you speed it up?
All right.
That was completely uncalled
for. I'll get off my soapbox. All right.
Fred, it's time, fixing the world's problems.
It's time for picks.
I thought that was interesting.
Paul, what happened last week? I know I took it over the head last week.
You did, Fred. You had a tough week. Eric and Paul tied for the lead at 10-5. Andy was 9-6. Fred was 8-7. Tough week for Freddie. With the spread, however, Andy, 9-6. The only one above 500 for the week.
Wow.
Eric and Paul were 7-8. Fred, 5-10. So wow. The standings are as follows. Woo. Eric maintains his lead. I actually stretched out his lead a little bit over Freddie. 72-33-1. Let's see. Andy, there's a new last place guy. I didn't even realize this until right now. You and I are tied for second at 68-37-1. Fred is now in the basement at 66-39-1.
Wow. Why don't you wave your little dictator hand at that?
I thought that was going somewhere else.
He's bragging about being in second place.
Wave your little dick at that.
Yep. That's what I thought he was going with.
Dictator.
No, I heard you.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Eric maintains his lead with the spread, 59-47. Fred, 58-48. Paul, 57-49. And Andy, 55-51. But everybody above 500 now.
So how many? Two games back?
Of who?
Of not being in last.
Yes.
You start with small goals.
You're two games behind me.
Eric's on a run.
I'm only two games behind Eric for the top spot.
I don't care about you.
All right, well, let's see what happens this week. There's some interesting matchups, starting with tonight, San Diego at Denver. Again, another home game for Denver. They never play on the road.
Unbelievable. It's just like Notre Dame. Yeah, you are absolutely right. They play all home games.
Says the Patriots, who are starting, what, are we in the midst of a three-game home stretch?
Something like that. Well, this is going to be 4-4 for us, this game this week.
We have a three-game home stretch and a bye in there.
But we don't have to play anymore in that 18-game stretch, so the 18-day stretch. What do you got? 7.5, Denver. Sorry.
I am going to take Denver to win, but I'm going to take the points. That scares me a little. I think there's a chance Denver blows them out and asserts themselves as sort of the cream de la creme.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the points. Just I feel like I'm going to put a half a unit on the money line to cover my bet.
A half a unit. What's a unit?
I don't know. Him.
I am going to agree with Andy. I think Denver will find a way to win the game. I generally side with the home teams in these Thursday night games. But San Diego did go to Denver last year on a Thursday and beat Denver. That was the only loss that the Broncos had at home. And I think Denver... No, I mean, San Diego knows how to play them a little bit.
Well, they do. I saw the graphic on ESPN the last two seasons, points per game, time of everything, yeah,
everything
is
was
way,
down.
Way down for that yeah. Denver offense.
But, so I'm going to take Denver, but I'm going to take the points.
I was going to take the points, but I'm going to go both ways with San Diego.
The upset.
I'm just going to roll the
dice.
I'd
love to see that happen. I really would, because I think San Diego... I think San Diego's pretty good, and I think that would validate the Chargers.
I'm just going to roll the dice and go for it.
I'd love to see it happen quite literally, because I'll fall asleep, so I will not see how this game ends.
Okay. All right.
I can't stay awake.
And
I just can't do it.
Eric is going to
give me his picks later. He said,
because locker room opens at 1:45, so he had to leave at 1:15.
Okay, yeah, now.
For some reason, he was not able to be here.
Now, for some reason or person?
A little wrinkle with our usual progression here.
Sunday, 9 a.m. Sunday. Sorry.
He can't help himself. He does it to everybody.
Sunday at 9:30 Eastern Time.
Across the pond.
The Detroit Lions take on the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta's the home team in London.
I thought it was in Spain.
It's Detroit. Detroit. Did you get that?
No.
The Falcons put out one of those infographics about all the travel they're doing.
They traveled to Spain.
And they put the arrow to like Spain.
Oh, God.
Everybody was making fun of him, too. It's this day and age. If you make a mistake,
the
world knows instantly.
Yep.
Detroit by 4 in that game. Now, why is the game at 9?
Well, because I think it's a 1 o'clock. Like, they're making it
a real game
would be. You know, Sunday at 1, that's the way it should be. Well, they're giving the fans a chance to taste that. I don't know if maybe – is this a precursor to if there's a team there, they'll play actual 1 o'clock games and – now your Sunday goes from 9 to – was it John Rook who said that? Or somebody was talking about, imagine you would go from 9 a.m.
Right.
All the way through
early game.
Midnight, and you'd have nonstop football on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't even really want to imagine a world like that.
in a world where games start. I am going to go.
Detroit by four.
I'm going to go with Detroit. Did you see the guy they sent home? Poor guy, practice squad. They cut him and put him on a flight home.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So couldn't you just say, like, why don't you just stay with us until we go home?
I
would. Yeah, we're in London.
But, you know, Jim Caldwell, he's cutthroat.
sure he was awake?
I am going to take the Lions. You know, the Falcons are what they are. They're a team that's right on the cusp of sort of blowing it up and having some issues. And I just think Detroit has more talent. I saw Calvin Johnson jogging. Are we expecting him to play this week?
He's not fully participating in practice yet.
If he's back, it makes me feel even better. But without him, I'll still go with Detroit.
Yeah, I'll take Detroit as well. The only thing that causes me any slight concern is the fact that it's in London. But I think the Lions are just a better team.
I'm going to go with the Lions as well. Seattle at Carolina, Sunday at 1. Seattle at Carolina.
Seattle by 5.
Seattle coming way across the country, not playing all that well, not a good road team. But Carolina has its own issues, injuries, all kinds of problems. I'm going to go with the road team, even though, you know, you're supposed to question Seattle coming across the country. I'll stick with the Seahawks.
Yes, I will take the Seahawks as well. They are not playing very well, though, and I don't like picking them when they're on the road.
So take the Panthers. But, no one's holding a gun to your head.
Well, I think – I'm sorry. I was going to say something you were going to get mad at. But I think Carolina stinks.
Yeah.
So I'm taking Seattle.
Well, I did joke with Noomi the other night. I said, it looks like 7 wins might win our bet between the Bengals and the Panthers.
Baltimore at Cincinnati. Baltimore at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati by 1.
Cincinnati struggling.
Yeah, they are.
They have been exposed since they played the Patriots.
Why are you talking like that?
I don't know.
No one really knows.
Not even me. I am going to go with Baltimore just because I think right now Baltimore is the better team. I certainly don't put it past the Bengals to win this game and get back on a winning track. I think they're a talented team. But, you know, I got to go with the hot hand, and the hot hand's the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. This is a big game for Baltimore. They do not have a very tough schedule. And if they win this game, they could really be setting themselves up for a strong record. I think Cincinnati wins it at home, however. I don't think they're as bad as they've played the last couple of weeks. And I think they find a way to bounce back with a big home win.
I'm with Paul, but if Cincinnati loses the game, that's it. They're done.
Did you see the
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, did you see the costume making the rounds already of the guy in the Ray Rice jersey dragging a blow-up doll behind him by the ankle? Made me laugh out loud.
That's just poor to me, but funny. The Cincinnati thing... For Patriots fans, root for Cincinnati in this game because you want Cincinnati to be in line because you beat them. You know, I know the tiebreaker is kind of irrelevant because you can't tie with Cincinnati.
It's true.
You know, because Cincinnati tied that game.
You
can't
tie.
Right.
Well, obviously, then that would come back into play.
Well, you could have a tie.
But Baltimore has a chance if they win these games to post a better record.
Miami at Jacksonville, Sunday at 1.
Miami by 6.
Miami at Jacksonville. Paul told me Jacksonville stinks.
So does Miami.
I had to tell you that?
Yeah, I'll go with Miami. Jacksonville does stink. They, you know, they're getting some athletes going. Denard Robinson's making plays for them. Bortles. Storm Johnson's playing a little bit. They're kind of injecting new blood there, and they realize what an error they made with Toby Gerhart. But I'll still go with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think Miami's played pretty well, really.
Really?
Yeah, I think they were a play away from beating Green Bay, and then, you know they'd be right in the thick of things in the AFC East had they been able to hold on in that game. Then I thought they posted a good win on the road against a team that, you know, most people feel is better than them in Chicago. So I'm going to stick with Miami here. This is one of those games that these teams don't seem to win. Buffalo, Miami, the games that they're, quote, supposed to win, they don't win these games. I'm going to put my faith in the Dolphins.
I'll grudgingly pick the Dolphins. St. Louis at Kansas City. Who are the Kansas City Chiefs?
Kansas City by 7.
Football team. They played Arrowhead. Kansas City I will take. I can't buy into that quarterback. I can't buy into, you know, team that needs to have multiple special teams plays and that kind of stuff.
He's played very well, though. You got to give him
credit.
I know
he has. I just said I'm not buying it.
Well, I think the team stinks, which makes his performance all the more impressive.
Chiefs.
I think the Chiefs will win at Arrowhead, too.
I'm going to take the Chiefs, but I'll take those points.
Okay.
We're skipping over the New England game at one. We'll go
That's
to
a good pick, Freddie.
We'll go to New Jersey. Buffalo travels to the Jets. I heard him talking on the radio. I can't believe the Jets are favored by two. Did they realize that Buffalo lost C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson? You know, that's why they're probably favored by two, even though the Jets stink.
Yeah, the Jets by three in this game.
Three now.
Just want to make sure that I had the right number when you kept saying two. But
well, it must have gone up.
Yeah, it did. It did. It opened at 2.5. It's up to three.
So it was never two.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it went down to two. Now it's, I don't know.
The Jets. Interesting. Coming off the Patriots game where they fought the good fight. They're a bad team. The season's over. They're not getting back in anything. Bills come into town, questioned.
Still in it.
Still in it.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Bills. I'm going to regret that.
I'm going to take the Jets. I think the Jets at home, they're entering the part of the season now where they feel like they're playing teams that they can beat. And I think they're going to put up a good fight. 10 days off. They win this one. Maybe they have a chance to try to scrap their way back into the season. They lose this one and look out below. Three.
Percy Harvin, some big plays.
Have Percy.
I'm going to take the Jets as
That's
well.
That's good.
Again, grudgingly.
Percy me.
Minnesota at Tampa Bay, Sunday at 1.
How many of those are you going to throw in the next 5 seconds?
I like it.
Minnesota at Tampa Bay.
Minnesota at Tampa Bay.
Hopefully. How do you miss games?
I don't
when you
know, because I'm talking to you guys when I'm writing them all down. Minnesota at Tampa Bay. Minnesota at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay by 3.
Oh, Tampa Bay. You know, the great Paul Perillo once told me, two bad teams take the home team. I'll take Tampa.
Mm-hmm. And I will do the same.
All right, me too. Quickly over to Houston, traveling to Tennessee Sunday at 1.
Houston by 1.5.
I am going to go with my reputation as a draft analyst here. Zach Mettenberger making his first start. I am going to go with him to have an impressive first performance here and take care of business. And there's a little bit of me, even though I love Bill O'Brien, that's rooting for him to just erupt like Mount Vesuvius.
I will take Houston. I think they are a better football team. And I do love Mettenberger, by the way, and I am really, really rooting for him to light it up.
Yeah, I would love it, but that's a tough defensive front to start.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
JJ Although, Swat. Cushing's out now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always out.
That's what happens. Steroid injuries.
All right. We go to 405 Philadelphia at Arizona. This could be a good game. Philadelphia at Arizona.
Arizona by 2.5. Maybe the game of the week, Freddie.
Yeah. You know, LeSean McCoy hasn't had a great year. Good defensive front. Tommy Kelly anchoring it down for the Cardinals. I'm just going to go with the Cardinals at home. I think they're a good, solid football team that is just kind of positioning themselves quite nicely in the wake of the Seahawks and the Niners struggles. And, you know, we're just going to take care of our business and see what happens. I think they take care of business in this one.
Everything Andy just said. I'm going to take the Cardinals for exactly why he just said.
Yep, me too. Cardinals. 425, Oakland at Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Cleveland by 7.
Cleveland by 7. I will take Cleveland to win, but I will take those points. What did Hoyer complete, like 3 passes last week?
Against Jacksonville.
I did that
He's had
good.
Some pretty bad performances.
I got my praise for Brian Hoyer that I wanted to because I like him out of the way early so that I, you know, could use it as an Around the NFL or TV show because he stinks now.
Yeah, I will take Cleveland, and I will give the points. I think Oakland is just terrible.
Yeah, me too.
They stink like the Bears?
No. They stink a lot.
425, Indianapolis at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had a little bit of a resurgence there last week after falling behind early.
Thanks to the meltdown of the
Texans.
You see Dick LeBeau said he's never seen that? He thought that was something he'd never seen before, that meltdown of the Texans at the end of the first half.
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to score 24 points in 3 minutes.
Right. But I just feel like you get all these, you know, Manning did this again. Remember, was it the Bucks on Monday night? And Dick LeBeau's been around literally forever. He has seen it all in the NFL, and that was something that wowed him. Who are they playing?
Oh, God.
Indy at Pittsburgh.
Andrew Luck.
Indy by 3.
Indy's the better football team. I'll take Indy.
Yeah, I think Indy will lay a whooping.
Me too.
Pittsburgh stinky?
Green Bay at New Orleans Sunday night, 8:30. Green Bay at New Orleans.
You're going too fast for me, Freddie. New Orleans by 1.5. Let me just make sure. New Orleans by 1.5. I had it right.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Because I thought for sure I read something that this was like the second time in the Peyton Breeze era that they had ever been underdogs at home.
They could possibly be underdogs in places. I just go with whatever.
I will take the Packers either way. The Saints, you're waiting for them to turn it around, start playing right. Oh, they're at home. Oh, they're on the road. They're in a road dome. They're in a this dome. They're at a home dome. I don't care. I'm taking the better football team. The Packers are rolling.
Yeah, I just don't think they're very good. And I think Green Bay is better. And I'm going to take the Packers to win on the road.
Me too. All right, Monday night, 8:30, Washington at Dallas.
Dallas by 9.5.
Oof. This sets up well for Dallas with Philly probably losing, or we think they will. They could sole possession of first place.
Do they not have sole possession of first place?
No, I think they both have one loss.
Oh.
Technically, they're in first place by half a game, but 6-1 and 5-1.
I will take the Dallas Cowboys. I still foresee a hiccup coming. I still don't believe in the Cowboys. I don't believe in their defense. There's a fumble coming. There's a something coming down the pike here, as they say. But I'm not going to predict it to happen against the Redskins.
I really don't believe in.
Right. It might happen, but I'm not going to predict it to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to take Dallas, but I'll take the points because Washington owns them. And I'll see if they keep it close.
I think I'm going to take Dallas both ways.
Good call, Fred.
All right. Now
that's
we
why
go-
you and I wave a lot.
Yeah. Now we go back.
Not as many times as I have, just to clarify.
Now we go back to Sunday at 1. Chicago coming to New England in just an easy game, according to Paul Perillo.
Cakewalk. 50 burger he's expecting.
Not what I said.
That's what the caller said you said, and they were agreeing with you.
I did not say 50 burger. Anyway, Patriots by 6.
I, unlike Paul, this game intrigues me, concerns me. The weapons on the other side are, I think, a bit daunting for a defense that on paper is number one against the pass, but I still think has some concerns at number two corner and the middle of the field against running backs and tight ends, and those are all concerns this week, assuming Bennett plays. It's all on Cutler. Do what Geno Smith did. Take care of the damn football. Don't turn it over. If that happens, I think the Patriots are in for a dogfight. But as Paul said, you're also scoring points, and you're going to score points against the Bears, and you don't turn the ball over. So I'm going to pick the Patriots. I'm going to lay the points because I think they'll probably win by 10 points or so. But I am, as you would say, Fred, I am mentally prepared to lose this game. I think those weapons on a good Cutler day could beat you.
Okay. Paul?
They stink!
I think a lot of the stuff that Andy said, somehow that is portrayed as if I think that the Patriots are going to put 50 on the board. I just don't see how Chicago stops them. I don't think they have the personnel to do it.
Willie
I don't
Young.
Think anybody's talked about it all week. They haven't mentioned any of the fact that the Chicago defense is all gone. All the guys that they wanted to play at the start of the season, most of them are either hurt or out. And I don't feel like they can match up with Gronk, Edelman, who knows, LaFell. You know, the only thing that I think Chicago might be able to do is put a little pressure on the passer. And if they do that and maybe cause a turnover or two, then maybe it's a different game. I don't expect that. The Patriots don't turn it over that often. So I think they're going to end up winning this game rather easily. And I think it's going to be one of those games they immediately get a two-score lead and sort of the game is played that way the whole way. I have no doubt that Marshall and Jeffrey and all those guys will make some plays along the way, but the Patriots will never be in trouble in this game and they'll win 37-24, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of with Paul in this one. You know, as fans,
unbelievable.
As fans, we
unbelievable the amount of static you've given me all week, and then you just say that.
As fans, we sort of focus on the other team's offense, and you know that's what scares us. And in this case, they've got some real good talent, but you know, can they stop the Patriots? We forget that the Patriots' offense has been playing pretty well.
How's the pass protection?
Much better.
Is
much
it?
Better?
Yeah, and I think that
See, Brady, I don't even believe that.
It has been much better, and you know Brady was sacked what once last week.
Yeah, I mean, how's the protection been? Is my question.
He's under pressure, but whatever it is, that mental thing is better in his head now, where he's just like, okay, this is what it's going to be. I'm going to have to deal with that, and whether it's getting out of the pocket and
yeah, he's talking about running more.
Right and moving around or whatever. You know, starting with Cincinnati, he's done a lot better. And so I look for that to continue. I love the fact that other guys are getting thrown passes and making the catch. I do worry about the running game, though. You know, if you don't have the threat to run, you know, your play action's a non-factor, and other teams can start cheating a little bit. So that's the one thing that I'll be looking for is how they can establish a run, and will they establish the run. But I think the Patriots end up winning this game. I give the defense a little bit more credit than everybody else does in stopping the Bears. So, but a score like Paul said makes a lot of sense, 30s to 20s.
So how are you giving more credit then to the defense?
I think that a lot of people just don't give this defense much credit at all. You know, a lot of people do. I didn't say you, Paul, in particular.
Very defensive.
You know. But with all the injuries,
I don't know. After a week of getting yelled at for just missing the Bears, he says, "I think about this." His first prediction was, "I think exactly what Paul said." After nothing but yell at me for 2 days.
In terms of the score, but I think that you know a lot of people, rightfully so, are worried about all these injuries. I'm right with
the Bears' injuries
and the Patriots' injuries on defense too. Oh, the Patriots don't have any injuries?
Of course they do.
Okay,
that's why I think their defense is going to give up points.
All right, I think that without the injuries, they could give up 24 points.
I agree with you.
To the Bears.
I agree with you, too, because I don't think the same as the defense as you do.
Okay.
I do owe you an apology, Fred. And a couple of years ago, you said Brady needed to run more. And now Brady's saying he needs to run more, so maybe you were right. You were ahead of the curve on that.
Of course I was right.
I think the opposite.
I sit up there.
I'm with Tom when he said, it served me well to stay in the pocket over the years, and I don't have a cell in my body.
When he had Gronk and Hernandez and Edelman and Welker, I didn't want him running.
In the past, when I said run, I don't mean galloping all over the field, but I mean when you see 4 or 5 yards in front of you, take it and slide.
I want him running now because he doesn't have a better alternative.
I don't really want him running ever.
When things break down, take those 4 or 5 yards, turn it into a positive play.
Yeah, throw the ball, find a way.
Well, that hasn't always worked.
See, in the past, that play that he started to run and then stopped and threw to Edelman in Kansas City was complete. And I didn't want him running to get the safe first down. I wanted the big play. Now I'm not so sure that big play is coming. So, yeah, I agree with Fred. Take the 5 yards that they're going to give you.
All right. All right. John's here for the playbook. How's your week been going, John?
Very well so far, Fred. Thank you for asking. And I'm a little bit perplexed coming in here because I find myself now, it's shocking, but I will admit this, I find myself more and more agreeing with Andy Hart.
Everybody comes to their sanity
sooner or later. Now, you have to be specific because Andy Hart has a lot of things that
I understand. Well, in specifics, you're absolutely right.
They're on a lot of different sides of the same topic. Right.
Specifically, this game. This game concerns me quite a bit, more than I think it concerns most people. And a lot of this is laid right at the feet of the Patriots' defense. I think Chicago has enough weapons on offense to win this game on Sunday.
But will they outscore the Patriots?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know that they'll outscore them, which is why I tend right now to take the points rather than lay the 10. I would tend to take
six.
The points.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's 6.
Oh, I thought you said it was 10.
No, Andy says they'll beat them by 10.
Oh, beat them by 10? No, they won't have them.
Oh, he's more negative than me.
I won't
6.
Have
then
I'm
I.
I'm still taking the 6.
Yeah.
I'm
think
still
it's going to be a nail biter.
Yeah, I do think it'll be similar to the New York Jets game. Absolutely.
Who do the Bears have to stop Gronkowski?
They don't have anybody. That's
why I think people overlook. I mean, what would you feel better about Brady throwing to guys that can't be covered?
Hang
or
on a
Cutler
second.
Throwing to guys
hang
that
on
can't
a second.
Covered?
You didn't say the same thing about the Jets before the Jets game, did you? Or did you? Because
about what?
Well, the Jets held the ball 40 freaking minutes against the Patriots and nearly won the game.
Right.
If the Bears do the same, and there's every reason to believe they're at least capable of doing the same if Jay Cutler doesn't step all over himself again, the Bears could follow the same game plan and be right in the game and not screw it up.
I would agree with that. I think the Bears have a better offense than
the Jets.
The Jets.
Yes,
I don't think the Bears' defense is anywhere in the same class as the Jets.
That's the X factor.
So the 27 that you got, make it 37, and the game is over.
Only if the Patriots have an even distribution of time of possession. If they go into this game and they come up with
they scored 27 points in 19 minutes.
That's what I'm saying.
So they can score 37 in 19 minutes against Chicago.
I don't know about that.
See, that's where I am.
I think that's a stretch.
I don't think the Patriots' offense is elite right now.
It's not.
I don't think it's roll out of bed against anybody and assume they can score 38, 40. They have recently put points on the board in a couple different games, in a couple different ways. I'm just not in that 07 or even a couple years ago mindset of they can just score at will, even against a bad defense. I'm just not there yet with this offense.
Okay.
I actually happen to agree. Again, it's
that's
shocking. That's two in a row. Yeah.
30 years into your career, you're kind
when
of
do we
starting
get
to get
when do we get to make it the Wilson Hart Rook Index?
Listen,
ooh, I like
there's,
it.
There's no way to be certain about anything at this point. There really isn't.
You know? I don't think I agree with what Andy and John said about the Patriots offense. I don't think it's 35 plus points the last three games. Nothing to see here. We're rolling. I think a lot of those points were set up by the defense. Mm-hmm. And when you didn't get any points set up by the defense, it was 27,
right?
Not 37.
And 27, you might be in a dogfight with the Bears.
Well,
37, you probably are.
If they get held to 27, then they will be in a dogfight. There's no question. The Bears will have a chance to win.
And therein lies the problem.
And
because
I think
that's where I think it'll end up becoming.
My flip of that is if they get to 38 or in that area, then Cutler has turned it over to help them get to that area.
Yes.
And that's so what, we're all kind of coming into a...
That's what I'm expecting.
And that could happen, too. That's all I'm saying is that all of this fait accompli, oh, it's going to be a 38-24 route. Don't go there just yet.
But Andy's right. If Geno Smith didn't turn it over, then Jay Cutler is capable of protecting the football and not turning over. If that happens, this game will be up for grabs in the fourth quarter.
And that's kind of what I'm leaning to.
All right, John, have a good show. 4 o'clock, all your fantasies are realized. We will see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.